Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake-Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Oh, Lord, you need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. I received a number of calls yesterday, and folks that were, touched by, intrigued by, I guess is a better word, intrigued by the discussion that we had yesterday concerning sainthood. And I got a number of people that emailed me about the issue of sainthood. You see, the Episcopalians are considering making Thurgood Marshall into a saint. It wouldn't take place until the year 2012 because of the way the process works, but they are considering saintendom for Thurgood Marshall. And I got suggestions from folks about who should be made into a saint. Who should be made into a saint? We got Harriet Tubman. We had John Brown. We had Nat Turner. Malcolm X. It's fascinating the way that people's minds work about if we're going to make folks into a saint. I got emails from folks that were and are opposed to the idea of saints, period. Saying that, you know, this is just another form of American Idol without the American. Just the idol. And then, interestingly enough, I received a phone call from a movie company. They're getting ready to make or to release a movie talking about the crucifixion of Christ. Been there, done that, huh? Been there, done that, saw that, Mel Gibson that, move on. Well, what's different about this movie is this. Christ is portrayed as an African man, and apparently this is the first full-length movie to address, take on this issue of Christ as an African man. And what is also new and different and never been done before, an un-Passion of the Christ-like is the fact that Christ is executed because he's a man of African descent, a black Jew. Remember Debbie Morgan? Y'all watch the soaps out there as our seniors say, the picture. Don't know my show. Y'all watch the soaps out there. Put the shows on. Debbie Morgan from, I think it's All My Children, I think. She was in All My Children. Is that right? Okay. She's in All My Children. She's playing in the movie in a starring role. And you know what I want to know? This is what I want to know. This is the thing that is going to be curious to me. This movie is going to be released in August or July. September. They're going to have a showing, a preview of the movie, a release, an early release of the movie in July. And it's coming to St. Louis. And I'm going to be able to screen the movie. What I am curious to see, I'm curious to see if this movie will be supported, embraced, cuddled up to, held on to, pocketbooks opened for, will black preachers all over this country, will they embrace this movie the way that they embraced the Passion of the Christ when Jesus was a white man with blue eyes? Will they insist that their church members attend this movie the same way that they filled the coffers of Mel Gibson's wallet? Will they do that? Will they do that? Shouldn't children, I'm telling you, if there's anybody out there that is trying to find a safe haven from the Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on your door on Saturday mornings. You know, I've seen grown folks cower behind their curtain when folks are knocking on their door to talk to them about their religion. Y'all can come to my house because they don't come no more. They don't come to my house anymore. Because I open the door and I say to them, because I live in a community of African descent, I live in North St. Louis. Black folks, mostly, largely, almost exclusively. When they come to my house and they knock on my door and they're holding their little pamphlets, these are mostly black folks. I've never talked to a white person in my neighborhood that is pushing their little, what do they call those? Their tracks. And they hand me one, and I said, you know what? I will sit here and talk to you all day long. You know what? I will come to your church. You know, I will write a check out for your church. If you can find in any of your little tracts there talking about Jesus, a Savior, where Jesus looked like me. Because you're in a black neighborhood. And you're trying to get me to open up to your religion. That's cool. You know, this America, that's cool. Talk to anybody. Talk about anything. But explain to me how you can come into my neighborhood, look into my face, and try to get me to connect to your religion when your religion doesn't see me. That's just my question. I think that if you're knocking on my door on a Saturday morning, we need to have this discussion. Because I'm not going to cower behind my curtain. I'll talk to you. And then they fumble and they look through their tracks and then they find a black face. See, we have black people here. Not in any leadership role. Oh, you have black people as the people that are inspired by a Jesus that doesn't look like my daddy. So help me with an explanation of it. And you know what I always get? You know a phrase I always get? Oh, y'all know the phrase? You know what I hear? God is colorblind. And that's just such a mystifying phrase for me. It's a mystifying phrase. Because when people try to project to me about this whole colorblind theory, I believe it's a refuge for those I believe that it's a hollow, fake refuge. For people who refuse to deal with the issues of race and racism in this country. And it is, I got to go Spock on you too. It's illogical. It's illogical. You're going to tell me that when you look at a tree, you don't see green? So how are you going to tell me when you look at me, you don't see my color? You look at a tree, you don't see green. Come on. Of course you see it. And if God is colorblind, okay. I don't think God is colorblind. I think God marvels in all of the amazing colors that he's made us in. I think he marvels every day. I think she marvels every day. I think I think she looks at each one of us and just marvels in the beauty of each of us. She ain't blind. She marvels and embraces us. But it is man who makes the issues out of color because, and again, this is just logic. This is just my Spock-like conversation with these folks that knock on my door on Saturday morning wanting to talk to me about their religion. Help me. Because when they tell me that they are colorblind, God is colorblind, we're colorblind, well, y'all need to play the lottery. Because y'all are engaging in some odds that y'all need to go play some numbers. Because 100% of the time that you draw a picture of Jesus, he look white. And if y'all are colorblind, those are some good odds. Y'all need to play some numbers. Because those are some really good odds. Every single time that you make a decision to draw the picture, to idolize what Jesus or God looks like, he don't look like me. But God's colorblind, right? And then I end with my kicker. I said, you know what? You can come in my house and take some stuff. I'll let you do that. If you show me that you've gone into South St. Louis and handed out tracts in white South St. Louis, in Francis Slay's ward, where Jesus is black, I'll let you take my television set. I'll let you do that. And they usually say, God bless you, and they move along. They move along, and they don't come back. Then a few years pass, and people forget that they don't come to the house, and then I start it all over again. So my question, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, are we going to have the same rousing, enthusiastic, monetary-driven, open up your pocketbook, get some popcorn and soda, buy some tickets from black churches that embraced the passion of the Christ to see this movie? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Kevin. Kevin.
I want to ask you something.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, if Moses was born in Egypt and he hid amongst the black aristocracy, what color do you think the children of Israel are?
I think...
You understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand what you're trying to say.
I knew this 30 years ago, and some of the most messed up people I ever talked to about religion are church people. You are so right, Ms. Brown.
All right, now.
You have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. Dolores.
Liz.
Yes.
Sunday, every Sunday on BET, I think it comes on at 9:30 or 10 o'clock, they have this talk session about different things. This Sunday, they was talking about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one point that the minister made from the African Methodist Church was, he said the reason why they are making this movie is because when they did some death searching on Jesus, they figured out that when Jesus, Moses was given to the Egyptians, he said the Egyptians were black.
Here's the thing. Dolores, can I just stop you for a second? Because there's just a thought that is passing through my mind here. Why we have to do any research to prove what color he is anyway? Why are we even tripping on this is the religion that you practice?
Right.
You make him whatever color you want to make him.
Right.
So I'm not even trying to get into the discussion of historically he was black. I'm black.
Right.
And if I'm going into a church to look at a picture of a person that is supposed to be representative of the religion that I practice, why wouldn't he look like me? Do you go into the Chinese tabernacle and see pictures of Malcolm X? Of course not. You see pictures of Chinese people. Why are we having this discussion? Why do we have to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt that he was black? You black.
You know, obviously... It didn't matter to me, but it mattered to some people because I don't think you were here when this big controversy blew up out at McClure North High School. Did you hear about that? This has been some time ago.
You're going to have to narrow down the controversy.
Well, this guy, historic, is a black guy, went out there. He had a session out there,
mm-hmm.
told the kids that Jesus was a black man.
And what's the controversy?
And white folks lost their minds.
And here's the thing. But wait a minute. Again, Dolores, my point is, why do we, as a people of African descent, have to, why is it even part of the discussion?
Yeah, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is to some people it really matters, or else they wouldn't even, you know, make the point what color he is.
But they're making the point based upon what they want to see. That's
right.
My point.
Right.
And I'm not mad at any person that says I want the thing, the person that I worship to look like my daddy. I ain't mad at you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
agree.
He wasn't born in any place your daddy was, but okay, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Well,
my point is about black folks. Why aren't you insisting that? Why are you, why you have to feel like you on the stand and have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt this is your religion?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be, but you are supposed to have mentally within your mind an image of the maker that look like you.
Well, see, I've always said that everybody, when I was coming up as a kid, had a picture of what Jesus looked like, but the black man, because the Chinese had the little booze fat man. Everybody had one, well, what he looked like, but us, and ours was always looking like that man.
Well,
the
people that were stolen and brought here. I understand.
Right.
Got to roll.
Okay.
Listen, folks, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Oh, I love this song. I'll be back.
Watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hotep, this is Pastor Ray Higgins, and I would like to invite you to tune in to the On One Accord broadcast every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m. for the best in liberated gospel music, live talk radio, and powerful messages about truth and right spirituality. Join me right here on WGNU 920 a.m. every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m., and let's set our people free. Hotep.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Eastbound 44 from Bowles 270 looks good. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 all the way in the Canal Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic's building. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way to 170 looks good. Eastbound 40 from Spirit into Chesterfield Mall, expect no delays. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, heavy volume going on there. Westbound 370 at Earth City Expressway in 94, right lane's closed for construction still at this hour. Westbound 5570 onto the PSB, you've got paving operations, right lane's closed, traffic is slowing near 64, and eastbound 40 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, paving operations have the right center lane closed. King Bridge traffic between 5570 and Laclede Landing look for slow and sluggish, as well as northbound Route 3. Those ramps onto the PSB are slow as well. Westbound 64 at Powell Avenue all the way into 5570 look for slow traffic there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly sunny, chance for showers today, high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy. Look for another chance for showers, low in the mid-70s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s. And Thursday, another chance for showers with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly clear skies, 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Missouri Botanical Garden is once again giving area gardeners a reason to recycle. Plastic garden pots, polystyrene cell packs, and trays can be brought to the Monsanto Center in exchange for a complimentary admission pass. Collections will be held from 9 to 4 on Saturdays and Sundays through this coming weekend. Turn your used garden plastic into botanical garden admission. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Well, Hello out there, Radio Land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
Coming up Tuesday on the Wake Up Call, we examine how the American media abdicated its responsibility and let President Bush have his way during the entire presidency. Why did the press never call the hand of those who violated the trust of the country? Was it because they could lose their seat on Air Force One or at the White House press pool? Journalist Eric Bollert takes a critical look at his profession with his new book, Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. And he's Liz Brown's special guest Tuesday morning at 7 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Don't forget, put it on your calendar. Saturday, the Urban Institute is meeting. What are we going to be doing? We're going to be tying some stuff together. We need to fill your mental Rolodexes. That's the goal. Irene J. Smith and myself, we want to fill your mental Rolodexes with the information that you need to make the decisions and to engage yourself in the world that you live in. And one of the ways to do that is you need to understand the political world that you live in, how things are crafted to make you see and feel and think a certain way. Well, we're going to show a film on Saturday. It's called Loose Change. It's a film that was taken off the internet, put back on, but taken off because it was making, having such an extraordinary impact. It's a film. You think that you think you know about 9/11? No, you don't. Need to come out this Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor. You need to come out this Saturday, Saturday morning. Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Because we're going to be showing the film. We're going to be discussing the film. We're going to be tying it into the world that we're living in St. Louis right now. Yes, we are, because that's how we roll. At the Urban Institute on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock Saturday morning. What's the address? The address is 1020 North Taylor. Loose Change, Loose Change. You've heard about it? You've been told about it? You haven't been able to see it? Well, you're going to see it this Saturday. Yes, you are. You need to come on out. Bring your family. Bring your kids. You all need to have this in your mental Rolodex. That's this Saturday.
The top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
Rest of the day to you.
Thank you so much. Food for thought. A woman indeed.
Mm-hmm.
A woman indeed. Well, I hope no one goes rabid. But that's really good food for thought. I'm glad you put that out there.
What? Huh?
When you said, well, she might.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody heard that, but it certainly got my ear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to go rabid, but if they really want to be led, I think they might follow some women.
Well.
Have a good one.
Well, all right, D. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me, Lord. We have so much stuff to talk about. So much stuff to talk about. And in the next hour, I am very excited to talk with the author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over and Barked for Bush. It's an amazing book. The author is going to be on. We're going to have a giveaway or two of the book. You really want to stay here to listen to this. You don't have to keep the kids out of school for too long anyway.
We're going to be talking about First Lieutenant Bush. We're going to be talking about the war over PBS. And it is really, really timely that we're going to be talking about this book now that Dan Rather is no longer with us. So, you don't want to miss this. From the Big Apple to the Big Easy. I love that chapter. Big Apple to the Big Easy. You don't want to miss this. Lapdogs, how the press rolled over for Bush. Roof, roof. We're going to be talking about that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I don't know. There is a certain psychology involved in thuggery. There's a certain psychology involved in thuggery. There's a certain psychology involved in being a bully. Put them together, you've got a thuggish bully. I was watching a movie over the weekend. And I don't know if it did well, because sometimes when you watch movies that show up on the cable and you TiVo it, God bless TiVo. Word, how did we live before TiVo? How do we watch TV before TiVo? But I digress. I was watching a movie over the weekend, Batman Returns. No, Batman Begins. I really liked it. There was some deep stuff in it, and I wondered if it did well at the theaters. I wonder if it did well at the theaters. Because, it was really, really deep. And it talked about, obviously Batman Begins, how Batman got started. And it talked about evil, how evil works, how evil causes weak men to step aside, how evil is born, how evil will frighten people into having its will done. And it talked about our relationship with evil, and it raised a very fascinating question. If you're trying to rid the world of evil, how far should you go? If you see evil, is there justice in vigilantism? If you're trying to do good, and then in your face is evil, are you justified? Fascinating story. Really was. Lots of interesting black folks in it, too. Because I always watch movies to see when I look at movies and I see if there are people that look like me in it. And it's not quite the same as it was back in the 70s or the 80s. Where everybody, there's a black person on TV. Call everybody around to see somebody black on TV. But it was interesting because there were a lot of black faces. I feel like I pretty much have seen most of the black people that I see in movies. I've seen them before. I noticed that about all character actors, but black actors in particular. And I hadn't seen a lot of the black people in this movie. It was fascinating. Morgan Freeman was in it. He was good. And I have never seen Gary Oldman so understated. It's a good movie. Now, why am I talking about Batman Begins? Because evil is the thing that I'm thinking about this morning as I'm looking at this story. Pardon talk for Scooter Libby begins. Boy ain't even had his trial yet. And now that Karl Rove is not behind bars and wearing an orange jumpsuit, oh, it's time to open up the prison. Big Dog, Turd Blossom, is out, free, stinking up the joint. So it's time to get the rest of the criminals out. The talk is speculation has begun about pardoning Libby late in October. Oh, well, thugs and thuggery. And that's what why the book Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush is going to be such a timely topic because it talks about fear, what fear does, how this press is so scared of this administration. That's right, thugs and thuggeries. Bush has powerful incentives to pardon Libby. They range from rewarding past loyalty to the awkward revelations emerging from the pretrial motions indicted for lying and to about who let the dogs out. A pardon would cut off the disclosures and spare Dick Cheney from testifying. So you think that they'll pardon him? Huh. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Let's take a break. I'll be back after that. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Philipperson Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philipperson Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is where we work and where dozens of people are killed in crashes. Now, camera enforcement in work zones. Injure or kill a worker, you could be looking at up to $10,000 in fines and prison time. When workers are present, the speed limit is 45 miles per hour. We work to keep the roads safe. Now, the Illinois Department of Transportation is asking for your commitment to do the same. Join us in our Orange Ribbon campaign. Keep us alive. Drive 45.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Caracas. Women's groups in Venezuela are expressing outrage over a recent decision by the Venezuelan Supreme Court. Last month, that body did away with strong sections of the law on violence against women and families that prevented stalkers or other aggressors from visiting the workplace or home of victims and allowed such persons to be held without cause for up to 3 days. The High Court decided those provisions went against the presumption of innocence and the suspect's right to defense and struck them down. Women's groups are upset, saying the decision is absurd and takes away women's protection against physical, verbal, and psychological torture. The president of the Venezuelan Women's Institute, Maria Leon, went as far as to say she will hold every one of the Supreme Court justices responsible for every death that results from gender and domestic violence following the ruling. The law was passed in August of 1998, just before Hugo Chavez became president. The new Venezuelan constitution, which was adopted in 2001, left that provision in place. Political leaders say they plan to try and develop new language that will be constitutionally acceptable in order to restore the violence protection. And Dateline Washington. The Pentagon is on record from its own documents as saying that homosexuality is a mental disorder. That statement is part of its retirement and discharge policy for service members. A section lists homosexuality along with mental retardation and personality disorders. A Pentagon spokesman says the policy document is currently under review. The military has a don't ask, don't tell policy that does not pry into the sex lives of soldiers, but does mandate a discharge of any person who openly acknowledges being homosexual. Over 700 service members were kicked out last year under the don't ask, don't tell policy, and that was the first time in 5 years the number had actually gone up. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
Coming up Tuesday on the Wake Up Call, we examine how the American media abdicated its responsibility and let President Bush have his way during the entire presidency. Why did the press never call the hand of those who violated the trust of the country? Was it because they could lose their seat on Air Force One or at the White House press pool? Journalist Eric Bohler takes a critical look at his profession with his new book, Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. And he's Liz Brown's special guest Tuesday morning at 7 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, his young wife, stranger to
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have a problem with undocumented workers. We have a problem with undocumented workers. Folks are concerned about that. Then help me with this. Despite a federal effort to enlist help from local police to catch undocumented immigrants, some of the USA, some of our largest cities, are not enforcing the laws. A law is only as good as those who enforce them, right? Folks are not enforcing the laws. So, what's going to be the impact of that? It's kind of hard to put all the immigrants in jail if the police aren't looking for them. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tyrone.
Good morning. I just want to make a quick comment about the movie you were talking about, Batman Begins.
Batman Begins. Did you see it?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes. It was number one in the theaters, and it was charted as on demand, and it was number one for a while on demand.
Okay.
Also.
Okay.
And, you know, the guy who wrote Batman Begins is also the guy who did Memento. So it was a lot of hype about it, you know, when everybody found out that he was going to be writing. I can't think of his name.
But you know who produced it, too? And because I felt that there was a woman's touch in this, because it really, really was psychological, and people were trying to find out. Batman was trying to find out who he was. You know who was a producer for it?
I don't know.
Emma Thomas.
Okay.
So I thought that was very interesting. She's one of the main producers on it. I thought it was a really good movie. I'm glad to hear that it did well.
And you know, one thing I picked up about the movie was that, you know, when you were talking about the evil, you know, evil pretty much had a face. You know, the one guy that pretty much ran Gotham, but you know, he was just a face, you know. It was an underlying factor. It was somebody else who was behind the scenes.
Exactly. Exactly. And then also, I love the line about in the movie about how you can, if you put a man out there in front to deal with evil, they can kill a man, but they can't kill a symbol. And I thought that that was such a fascinating, fascinating way of looking at it.
Right.
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good. Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Please don't forget that on Saturday, this Saturday, we will be taking a look at the evil of man. We're going to be taking a look at 9/11 at the Urban Institute. Yep, we're going to tie it together. We're going to tie it to some issues in our what's going on in our world. We're going to tie it up. How are we going to do that? We're going to show a film, Loose Change. You think you know what happened on 9/11? No, you don't. No, you don't. You need to come on down to the Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself. And where is it? It's at 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor. What time is it? It's 9 a.m. in the morning. Continental breakfast will be served. You need to come on out Saturday morning. Bring your kids, bring your family, bring your friends. We're going to have a conversation about this movie, Loose Change. And the address is 1020 North Taylor. Taylor, that's 9 o'clock Saturday morning. They took it off the internet. They took it off, put it back, but they took it off. They don't want you to see this. So that's this Saturday. U of I Urban Institute, 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, in the next hour, we're going to be talking to the author of Lap Dogs, How the Press Rolled Over and Showed Their Belly for Bush. And why? You don't want to miss the author of Lap Dogs, Eric Boulert. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. Many of the national talking heads are celebrities and multimillionaires and feel right at home in the Republican Party. The Republican House says raising the minimum wage would be inflationary. This from the boys that have added $2.5 trillion in 5 years to the national debt, a 46% increase, and under whom federal spending has went up 37% in 5 years. But I'm not surprised. Bush could hand them a plate of fresh manure and they would try to tell the public that it was prime rib. Whether they would start to eat it, I don't know.
All right.
But I know.
Listen, folks, in the next hour, we're going to be joined by the author of Lap Dogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. You don't want to miss that. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
That progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air till
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Olin. A spokesman for the Iraqi Defense Ministry today telling reporters that two missing U.S. soldiers had been found south of Baghdad dead. ABC's Miguel Marquez with details from Baghdad.
The two privates were at a checkpoint in Yusufiya, southwest of Baghdad Friday. Witnesses say that their Humvees, a series of three Humvees, came under attack by one group of insurgents. The two of the Humvees chased the insurgents into a palm grove. The third Humvee came under attack by a second wave of insurgents. One of the individuals in that Humvee was killed. The driver, we believe that was David Babinow. The other two, we believe they were Christian Menchaca and Thomas Tucker, were taken hostage, according to witnesses. And now the defense ministry officials saying that they have been found dead.
A third soldier was killed in the attack last Friday. Three U.S. soldiers could face courts martials. They are now formally charged in the murders of some detainees in an operation last month in Iraq.
Published reports have said the military is releasing few details about the killings out of concern that publicity could derail what some officials have called an open and shut case. They have not identified the three soldiers facing charges in the deaths of three detainees and have only said the incident occurred May 9th during operations in a province north of Baghdad.
ABC's Pam Coulter at the Pentagon. Is it time to start bringing the troops home from Iraq? The Senate will debate that controversial topic again today. One Democratic plan calls for President Bush to start calling the troops home now, but it won't set a date for them all to be back. While the Senate debates, the president jets his way toward Vienna, the first stop on a European tour. ABC's Ann Compton is with him.
He's not one for sightseeing. There will be no night at the opera here in Vienna, just a morning of meetings in a spectacular palace, which once echoed with the music of Mozart and Strauss, and one day in Budapest, Hungary.
This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm going to need a professional installer. Number three, frankly, I'm all thumbs. Number two, they bring it, they put it in, it's done. And number one, you ever try to put in a garage door by yourself?
The Home Depot can get it installed, guaranteed. From top to bottom, inside and out. Like that new garage door you've been wanting. Call 1-800-79-DEPOT. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. License numbers available at your local store or homedepot.com.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love drunken Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids? Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shakes.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shakes.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please.
When will it end? That's what a lot of waterlogged people in one Texas city are saying.
It is raining in Houston again now, and forecasters are warning that some areas could receive another 6 inches today. Areas south of the city received over a foot of rain overnight. The staggering rain clogged up freeways. There were more than 500 emergency calls for people to be rescued. Now the National Guard is in with very high-profile trucks ready to bring people to higher ground. Mike Von Frem, ABC News, Houston.
They could use a little rain across much of the West. Several fires are burning, including an 11,000-acre wildfire in Sedona, Arizona. Mayor Pud Colkit says his office phone won't stop ringing.
We're getting a lot of phone calls. Is Sedona still open?
Well, the answer is yes, officially it is still open, but if you go, you're probably not going to find too much there. A lot of people, he says, are packing it up, trying to stay a step ahead of the flames. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the North St. Louis teen charged in a triple murder in Belleville remains at large. 17-year-old Daryl Lane faces three first-degree murder charges in the March 2005 deaths of Michael Cooney, Dorothy Bone, and Doris Fisher at Cooney's Salon. Police had thought Lane would turn himself in yesterday. Lane is described as an African-American, 5 feet 9 inches tall and 150 pounds. Anyone with any information on Lane's whereabouts is asked to call Belleville Police at 618-234-1212. Replacement drivers at Lord Distributing are trying to do away with the union representing striking workers. The replacement drivers have voted to decertify the Teamsters, whose drivers have been on strike against Lord for more than a year. Once that vote is certified, the strike will effectively be over. Lord is the distributor of Anheuser-Busch products in the city of St. Louis. Governor Matt Blunt is inviting cities across the state to apply to become dream communities. Blunt unveiled the Downtown Revitalization Economic Assistance for Missouri program yesterday. The Missouri Development Finance Board, Housing Development Commission, and Department of Economic Development are teaming up to help cities plan how to revitalize their downtown areas. 6 to 10 cities will be chosen through an application process. Finally this hour, a political science professor at St. Louis University expects that Saddam Hussein will be found guilty on the charges he faces. Jean-Robert Legay-Fayou says the prosecution did a good job.
Well, that's precisely where we reap the benefit of having done a good job articulating what he was charged with. The evidence was enormous.
Fayou says he's not surprised that prosecutors asked for the death penalty for Hussein and two of his seven co-defendants. The trial has been adjourned until July 10th when the defense will present its closing arguments. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound King Bridge traffic at the Illinois Bank. There's a disabled vehicle, left lane's blocking, and traffic's bumper to bumper all the way back through the interstate. Eastbound 70 and McKelvey and St. Charles Rock Road. Look for it. That accident's been cleared, but traffic's still slowing around a Blanchet Bridge. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 at 203 all the way into the Canal Bridge. Expect slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Sappington and 44. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170. Traffic's building as you approach the Interbelt. 141 at 44. Look for an accident. It's been cleared, but you may see some delays. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound Poplar Street Bridge traffic, the right lane's closed due to road construction, paving is going on, and traffic is slowing around Illinois 203, eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge, right center lane's closed, and you can expect some delays there as well. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street in the PSB, traffic's building, and westbound 64 at Kings Highway all the way back to Route 5570, look for slow traffic. Westbound East Bridge traffic is slow from mid-span all the way into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners need tires through July 31st. Get a $50 gas card with a purchase of any four tires at participating Toyota dealers. Visit ToyotaOwnersOnline.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny, 30% chance of showers today with a high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers, low in the mid-70s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s as well. Currently, we have clear skies and 73 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, we'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal citizens.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Also, we are streamed at 24/7 at WGNU.net. Also, the Wake Up Call is archived every single day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Check them out. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. Also, they are in the middle of a fundraiser, so support them because they sure support us. WhiteRoseSociety.org, WhiteRoseSociety.org, huh? All around the internet and in the news. Dan Rather is it's the word on the street. Dan Rather is gone. Was it 44 years? He's served as a news as a reporter, as a news commentator. And at the same time, we see these stories about Dan Rather leaving the news, being forced out, kicked out, nothing for him to do. We also see news sites that report RatherBiased.com, documenting America's most politicized journalists. There's this amazing quote from Jim Lehrer, who says, "I think Dan Rather deserves better than this." Huh. I mean, whatever Dan Rather did or did not do in the military records issue, I think he was there. He was there at CBS for 40 years, and now they're saying, no, 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 it's just outrageous. I think we really want to take a focus on the quote, the part of the quote that says, whatever Dan Rather did or did not do in the military records. Did or did not do whatever Dan Rather did or did not do. Are we at the place that we don't know what happened with the military records of George? They didn't even mention George Bush's name. Now it's reduced down into the military records. Is this where we are at this time, at this place, with the press? Don't we know what happened with Boy George's records? And if we don't, why don't we? Huh. Is it the fault of the press? Well, we need to get to the bottom of that. And other stories that we, whatever happened, that we, whatever did or did not happen stories. I think there are a lot more we do know what happened stories out there. We're going to talk about that. We have joining us from Montclair, New Jersey, Eric Bollert. He is the author of Lap Dogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. Eric, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Eric, is that part of the quote from Jim Lehrer about whatever Dan Rather did or did not do in the military records issue? Does that kind of like kind of state of where we are with the press and the issues that are about this administration?
Yeah, it's such a good point because, you know, I have a whole chapter in the book on Bush and the National Guard, and not rehashing the whole issue, but looking at how press dealt with that issue and how the press completely botched that issue.
Is Dan Rather a casualty of the botching of that issue?
There's no question. I mean, he lost his job because of that story. 60 Minutes 2 isn't even on the air anymore because of that story. You know, several senior producers and executives at CBS lost their job because of that story. And it's so important for two reasons. One, CBS did botch it in that they were not able to authenticate the memos that they used for that story. But if you just toss those memos away, if CBS had never used those memos, the story still stands. I mean, those memos were used as sort of a prop to bring some sort of a personal revelation about what Bush's commanders were thinking at the time. Again, CBS messed up because they couldn't authenticate the memos. But everything else about the issue of George Bush walking away from his Texas Air National Guard duty for at least a year between April 72 and April 73, that's all based on George Bush's military record.
Well, walk us through this, because like you said, you devote an entire chapter in your book, Lap Dogs, to First Lieutenant Bush. What are some things that some points that you want to make about how the press covered it and things that people don't know about this that they should know about it?
Well, what's so important is that when the huge controversy erupted over the CBS story, the mainstream press did a couple things at that point. They decided that there was no story there because of the big hullabaloo about the memos. But more importantly, you know, they saw what happened to Dan Rather. What's so important about Dan Rather being fired, 60 Minutes 2 being taken off the air, the senior executives being fired, I mean, the message was sent. It was quite clear.
It was like a horse in the bed, a horse's head in the bed.
If you do a story on George Bush and you mess up, your career could be over.
Oh, you're dead.
People always ask me, why has the press become so timid about Bush? Why did they hound Bill Clinton for 8 years, every day of that administration? And then Bush rides into town, and suddenly everyone wants to be polite and respectful and be so nice to the administration. I mean, there's a careerism involved, and the career implications are the Republicans play hardball with the press. And if you mess up, you know, your career could be over. I mean, if you go back to Whitewater, people messed up for that. They won prizes chasing Bill Clinton with sort of these fantasy stories. But back to the National Guard, the story became important during the 2000 campaign when the Boston Globe.
Well, this is before Bush ever got into office.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we're seeing this cowing before Bush.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it started in the 2000 campaign. Al Gore was hounded with sort of blatantly dishonest press coverage. I think probably the worst presidential coverage that any candidate in modern history has gotten. Remember, he invented the internet, we were told. He was an exaggerator. I mean, he was really depicted almost as a psychopath by the D.C. press. But during that campaign, what kind of coverage did Bush get? Well, the Boston Globe in May of 2000 ran a front-page piece raising questions about where was Bush for an entire year during the Texas Air National Guard, 72 to 73. There was not a single anonymous source in that story. all on the record. It was all based on Bush's own records. It was all based on interviews with Bush's commanders who said, you know what, he never showed up. He was supposed to, but we have no record of him. If he had shown up, I would have known it, on and on.
And he simply walked away for 2 years.
At least a year, probably closer to 18 months than 2 years. So that was May of 2000. The New York Times took 5 weeks before it even acknowledged that Boston Globe story. 5 days after that Boston Globe story, Chris Matthews at MSNBC sat down for a 60-minute interview with George Bush, not once asked him a single question about the front-page piece that had run 5 days earlier in the Boston Globe about George Bush apparently not serving for a year. Again, if you go
Eric. I think that it is important here to not only resonate on the fact that Chris Matthews did not ask a single question about a front-page story in the Boston Globe, but the goofy questions that he did ask him about his service.
Oh, yeah, right. So Vietnam did come up, and you think, okay, well, you know, he's going to ask him about his questionable service. He asked them, you know, he basically asked them,
Can I read the quote
from you? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Matthew says, let me ask you a question about Vietnam and your service. You were in the National Guard. You took a lot of, and I will give you credit, it takes a lot of guts to get in a jet plane and fly it. I mean, I don't think anybody ought to knock that. First of all, where's the question in that? And secondly, this is right after a front page story in the Boston Globe saying that he walked away.
Right. And Chris Matthews is not dumb. I mean, he talks really fast.
And he's truly partisan, but he's not dumb.
And he's partisan, and he knows but more importantly, he knows the score. So he had just gotten the 60-minute coup. At the time, it was a big deal for him to get this one-hour interview with Bush. And he understood spoken and unspoken guidelines that the press was using for dealing with George Bush in the summer of 2000, the same guidelines that he knew that if you talked about Gore, as he did during the 2000 campaign, you talked about how Gore wasn't like us. You talked about how Gore had a Pinocchio syndrome. Mm. And when you had George Bush on, you ignored the fact that you don't even ask him about an on-the-record article in the Boston Globe.
But you also become a cheerleader as well.
You congratulate him for defending the skies of Texas during the Vietnam War.
And the other piece of this is that the wonderful question that you say that no reporter asked about his Guard service, because George Bush said, I wanted to be a pilot.
Right.
That's why I went into the National Guard. What was the question that no reporter asked or should have asked? If George Bush said, I want to be a pilot. That's why I went into the National Guard.
Right, that was the talking point. He wanted to be a pilot like his dad, because his dad was his pilot in World War II. So he told it to the New York Times. I'm sure he told it to Chris Matthews. He told it to everyone during the campaign. Why did you join the Texas? You know, they would timidly sort of tiptoe and say, geez, because everyone knows if you were in the National Guard, it was because you didn't want to do anything, and you didn't want to go to Vietnam because no one ever did. In fact, his unit was nicknamed the Champagne Unit because it was filled with businessmen and sports. Professional athletes, I mean the sons of businessmen. So they would tiptoe and say, you know, why did you join the Texas Air National Guard? And Bush said, I want to be a pilot like my dad. The question no one asked was, well, if you wanted to be a pilot in 1968, why didn't you join the Air Force, the Marine, or the Army? They were all training pilots, and 8 months later you would have been in Vietnam. Now, I would have loved to hear his answer to that question. He went through an entire campaign. No one asked him that question.
Mm. You did a compare and contrast in your book, Lapdogs, about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton and his war record, or the fact that he didn't go to war.
Right.
How many times did the press, can we analyze how many times the press asked Bill Clinton that question?
I think Paul Begala, who was Clinton's great campaign aide and served in his administration, he did an electronic search during the 92 campaign. I mean, remember during the 92 campaign when Clinton was up in New Hampshire. I mean, and that was so interesting about how the press just had no interest, Bush in the National Guard. I mean, up until Bush, the guideline was if a baby boomer candidate was running for president, he had to answer where he was during Vietnam for weeks and months. I mean, the press was obsessed with this notion. I mean, Dan Quayle went through it. Bill Clinton went through it. Even Al Gore. I mean, look at what happened to John Kerry in 2004. I mean, if you were a baby boomer, and what you did during the Vietnam War became almost the central issue of your campaign, except if your name's George Bush, and then you don't really have to answer any questions. But Paul Begala, after the campaign, went back and tried to, you know, did an electronic search. During the 92 campaign, or 92 of Bush, when Clinton was accused of dodging the draft, I think Begala found like 10,000 references.
Actually, 13,641 stories about Clinton dodging the draft.
Right. And then how many did he find on Bush in the National Guard in 2000?
49.
Yeah.
49.
And there's another interesting statistic in the 2000 race. And I went back and I found out how many stories could I find that mention Bush being absent from the National Guard, as well as Bush getting some strings pulled to get into the National Guard. That's the amazing thing. You know, he got a free ride getting in, and then he got a free ride getting out of the Guard. Mm-hmm. I think it was less than 20.
Mm. And then
I went back, and how many articles could I find about Gore inventing the Internet? And it was 4,800.
Well, and talk to us about, at the beginning, how Bush, the known facts about how Bush got into the Guard.
Oh, sure. Ben Barnes, who was at the time was the Speaker of the House in Texas, got a call from one of George Bush's father's friends, an oil man, and said, can you put in a call to the Air National Guard and give Bush a spot? Barnes put in that call. And got Bush into the Texas Air National Guard. Texas Air National Guard, again, if you think back to the era of 1968 and the spring of 68 when Bush graduated from Yale, at the time, I think the statistics were 350 servicemen were dying every week in Vietnam. I mean, it was pretty much the height of the war. And, you know, people who didn't want to go had a few options, who had the wherewithal and the resources and the background. And one of them was always there, Texas, was always the National Guard, because the National Guard was essentially never sent. At the time, there were, at the National Guard nationwide, there were a waiting list of about 50,000 slots.
50,000?
So I could have walked in the National Guard, and you know, people you know could have walked in the National Guard. We could have got on a waiting list, but it was sort of a joke. But Bush got in automatically. He took the, not only did he get in, he was tapped to become an officer, even though he scored the lowest possible rate on his aptitude, pilot aptitude test.
Like what, in the 25%?
Yeah, 25% percentile. The good news for him is his training went well.
Well, wait a minute. Can we talk quickly about the application process?
Oh, yeah.
There was a question asked about background information, background qualifications of value to the Air Force.
Yeah, he wrote none.
And he got it.
He was being honest as a college kid.
Well, or honest or arrogant. He knew it didn't matter what he wrote down there.
Oh, it didn't matter, but, you know, some people put ROTC, some people put, I don't know, flight, you know, maybe they've taken flight classes.
He said none.
Military history they study in college or something. He wrote none. He also said, would you want a volunteer to be sent overseas? And he said, you know, he checked no.
Okay, so he vaulted to the top of a 500-person waiting list.
Well, nationwide, it was 50,000.
Nationwide, 50,000. Locally,
I'm not sure what the exact waiting list in Texas.
Okay, and we have to take a break. I am talking to author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush, Eric Bollert. We will be back. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be continuing this conversation. Stay with us.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything
the engineer would move. Hi, it's Kevin
and Sue McCarthy
of the Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have a travel question, we'll try to find the answer for you.
Tell a friend and tune us in 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU.
Telephone service is a necessity for daily living, yet the cost of activating and maintaining such service may be too expensive for low-income consumers. The Missouri Lifeline program can help individuals receive assistance for telephone service. Please contact your local telephone provider for more information or call the PSC Consumer Hotline at 1-800-392-4211. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local RE/MAX office. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank. All roadways are reopened after an earlier disabled vehicle in traffic lanes. Traffic still jammed all the way through the interstate. Eastbound 44 from Mraz overpass to Watson with 4. A little slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at 111 and the Canal Bridge is slow. Northbound 270 at Savington 44. Heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170. Slow traffic in the right lane as you approach the inner belt. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from 3rd City Expressway and 270. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 on the PSB. Look for slow traffic in the right lane is closed due to paving operations. And traffic is backed up through Illinois 203. Eastbound 40 at PSB. Paving operations have the right lane closed, or right center lane closed there, so expect delays. Westbound 64, Kings Highway, all the way into the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your local RE/MAX office. Looking to buy or sell a home? Search with RE/MAX at RE/MAX.com. They will have millions of listings and outstanding results. Visit them today at RE/MAX.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny with a chance of showers with a high in the lower 90s this evening. Partly cloudy. Chance of showers low in the mid-70s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. And Thursday, partly sunny. Chance of showers with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 76 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack. I want a rimshot.
Hey,
dig it,
dig it,
a rim shot. Hey, come on, a rim shot. Hey,
dig it, dig it,
a rim shot. Hey,
I said I need to hear the
rim shot. Hey, dig it, dig it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I want to give you a heads up for in the next hour. Joining us in the next hour, the president of NOW is going to be joining us to talk to us about, of course, this administration and new legislation that's going down that we need to be aware of. So you don't want to miss Kim Gandy, the president of NOW, joining us in the next hour. Also, don't forget that Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor, the Urban Institute will be meeting, and we will be viewing the film Loose Chains. It's on the Internet. It was taken off the Internet. It's back on the Internet. You think you know about 9/11? No, you don't. You need to come on out to the Urban Institute. Irene J. Smith and myself, we're going to be showing the film Loose Change. You don't want to miss it. It'll be 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. The address is 1020 North Taylor. Be there. This morning we are talking to the author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush, Eric Bollert. And he's joining us from Montclair, New Jersey. Eric, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
We're talking about First Lieutenant Bush and how he managed to get in the National Guard as a pilot, as a commissioned officer in the National Guard in Texas.
Right. And so he, you know, he vaulted to the top of the line after a well-connected friend of his father's put in a call. After it came out, years later when he was governor of Texas, Bush, he was sort of a non-denial. He said, I didn't know someone had called on my behalf, and I never asked anyone to, but that, you know, he never said no one called. He just sort of, you know, tried to get around it. So the good news was, his training went well, and for the first two or three years of his six-year commitment, he got high marks, he showed up, which later became a big deal. And then in the spring of 1972, April 72, he flew for the last time, and there's no indication that he ever got in a plane again. What happened was he wanted to go work on a senatorial campaign in Alabama for a friend of his father's, so he put in a transfer request. He's a fully trained pilot. The government at the time had spent the equivalent of about $1 million to train him. He was obligated to train once a month and 2 weeks a year as a member of the Guard. So in the spring of 72, he wanted to go to Alabama, and he was supposed to transfer to some place where he could do what's called equivalent training, meaning he would still be flying once a month, et cetera. He applied to transfer to a postal unit in Alabama that had no planes. That didn't quite work out because his superiors in Houston, I think obviously showing that they were going to let Bush do whatever he wanted, initially agreed to let him go to work at a postal unit.
Well, and Eric, let me stop you there.
Yeah.
What is the significance of this story? Because people will say, okay, I know he didn't go. What's the significance of this story with regard to the press?
Oh, well, the press was this, you know, again, we talked a little bit about it. I mean, look at the hoops Bill Clinton had to go through during the 92 campaign to explain exactly what he did and did not do during the Vietnam War. This is what Bush did, essentially walking away from his duty for over a year, you know, pales in comparison to what any other baby boom candidate has done.
But
the press in 2000, it refused to deal with it seriously.
And not
and
only...
I'm sorry, I was just saying in 2004, I mean, Bush had just taken the country to war basically on the backs of the National Guard in Iraq. So I think it was relevant in 2004. What did he do in the National Guard?
To revisit that. To visit it.
Yeah, to revisit it.
No, to visit it.
Right, because in 2000 they refused to. And again in 2004, because they paid so little attention in 2000, they got a lot of the facts wrong, and they still refused to really hold the White House accountable.
Well, and isn't there also another component to this, to the way that this story was covered? There's this incredible quote that you include in the book, Lapdogs, from George Stephanopoulos, where he says, they're talking about the issue, and George Stephanopoulos says, there may have been some questions about what happened for a couple of months, but the bottom line is that George Bush did serve, he was a pilot, and he did not see any active duty, but he was in the reserves. And some people are just never going to be satisfied. And this is from a Democrat that worked for...
became a journalist, right.
Right.
But again, he knew, you know, the culture in D.C., the press culture in D.C. is so pervasive. People understand what the guidelines are.
Well, Stephanopoulos said,
what
I don't...
do and don't say. And this came up, that specific incident came up in 2003 after, the mission accomplished photo op. Stephanopoulos was on C-SPAN, and I'm sure it was on the Democratic line. Someone called up and was annoyed about seeing Bush dressed up as a pilot playing one, and they said, well, you know, how come the press never followed up on Bush and the National Guard? And Stephanopoulos, he just understood.
Well,
he knew, because A, Bush was riding very high in the polls, and B, he just, you know.
Well, it was kind of like a Matthews response.
Sounded like a Bush aide.
And not even just that, but I just mean the context, the content of it. It was ignore the story and do a bit of cheerleading.
Exactly. Because
Stephanopoulos said, you know what? I don't even remember all the details of it.
You know why he didn't remember? Because I went back and looked. ABC World News Tonight, through the entire length of the 2000 campaign, made not one single mention about the fact that there were questions about what George Bush did and did not do in the Texas Air National Guard. So, of course, Stephanopoulos doesn't remember the fact. He and ABC completely ignored the story. Look at the little quote he says. He said there was something about what Bush did for a few months.
Right.
That wasn't the question about.
There may have been some questions about what happened for a couple of months.
A couple of months.
But the bottom line
was, where did George Bush disappear for between a 12, 18, and 24 month span?
Mm. So,
and again, when the story sort of came up in 2004, as I note in the book, all the news outlets were talking about, oh, Bush missed a few weekend drills. He didn't show up for a couple weeks, months. It wasn't about that.
And they
him deciding in 72, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not coming back.
And then they created new words to refer to lying. One reporter said that Bush had been lackadaisical about fulfilling his requirement. New
right.
words.
Right. Lackadaisical, and I say, you know, in fact.
MIA.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. He decided in the spring of 72, something happened. You know, there's lots of speculation about what might have happened. You know, either he just got bored or something else is going on in his life, and he's admitted he had a rather turbulent youth and did too much drinking and drugs. But he decided in 1972, at least 2 or 3 years before his commitment was up, that I'm done. I'm just not going to show up.
And I guess the other part of the story is that the story of George Bush or First Lieutenant Bush, as you write in your book, is that there was no story and it killed Dan Rather and the careers of many news people.
Yeah, right. So you know, in the fall of 2004, CBS did this big story and they claimed they had found these documents from Bush's commanders expressing his frustration about how Bush wouldn't fly. They're talking about grounding Bush because he didn't take his physical, which is all true. I mean, that's all in the record. I mean, Bush was grounded, and he refused to take a physical after 1972. But again, they couldn't authenticate the memos. The right-wing sort of noise machine went into overdrive and sort of launched this jihad on CBS and Dan Rather. And Dan Rather's probably going to announce, you know,
today
he's retiring. I mean, he was kicked overboard months ago. 60 Minutes 2 is off the air. Colleague has been fired, and they really sent a message to the press that this story is radioactive. And after CBS ran into its trouble, the rest of the press, which had, I don't think, ever really seriously pursued the story.
It was a clear message.
Ran for the hills.
It's a clear message. You mess with us, you're dead.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting, the CBS controversy got 10 times more coverage than the actual story, questions about Bush's service ever did.
And we have to take a quick break. When we come back, Eric, I'd love to talk about the question that you raise in your book, Lap Dogs. What happened to Bush's presidency between the Big Apple in 2004 and the Big Easy in 2005? Can we talk about that?
Sure.
All right. Eric Bollert, the author of Lap Dogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with us. We'll be back.
A long time coming, but I know a change gon' come.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. Three American soldiers have been charged with murder for killing three detainees in an area north of Baghdad on May 9th. Investigators say the soldiers took part in a raid on a former chemical factory in which the three prisoners were captured. The soldiers let the men go so they'd have a reason to shoot them. One of the three soldiers, a staff sergeant, reportedly told another soldier who knew what happened that he better keep his mouth shut or he'd kill him too. The same threat was made to the same soldier a second time shortly after the investigation began. The three soldiers are members of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team of the 101st Airborne Division and are being held in Kuwait pending a hearing. And Dateline Oslo. Norway has begun building a top-secret high-security facility to ensure there will be supplies of food in case of an environmental disaster or nuclear war. This installation will preserve some 3 million seeds that represent all of the known varieties of the world's crops. They are to be well stored in sub-zero temperatures in order to recreate foods that get destroyed by a disaster. The program is being run by a group called the Global Crop Diversity Trust. Norway financed this project at a cost of about $3 million. The seed depository is located on the Svalbard Archipelago, about 600 miles from the North Pole. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU 920 AM.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hey, yo, caller, away!
Folks, that's the Sloan Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every city and suburban place I've been made me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to the author of Lap Dogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, and I am talking to the author, Eric Bollert. Eric, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
You talk about in your book that we need to, that people really should focus on or at least take into consideration what happened to Bush between, as you put it, the Big Apple in 2004 and the Big Easy in 2005. Why? Why is that such a critical
point? The Big Apple was when that was the night, September 2nd, when Bush accepted the nomination for a second term, and 365 days later was September 2nd, 2005, when Bush announced that Michael Brown was doing a heck of a job with the Katrina relief. And it's interesting, I opened the book with that chapter because, you know, a lot of people sort of instantly assume, and there's a lot of talk that, well, the Bush has been so timid the press has been so timid with Bush because of 9/11 and because of the war of the Iraq, and that there's sort of an understandable or predictable retrenchment with the press, and that they're always nervous during sort of patriotic times, that they'll be seen as, you know, too critical of the press, and they're Americans too, and et cetera, et cetera. That's sort of been the conventional wisdom, that the press has sort of gone soft on Bush because it's a wartime culture, et cetera. But I'd argue that Bush got his softest press, you know, during the year 2005. And that, you know, that was 4 years after the attack of September 11th and 2 years after Iraq. And so I think it sort of punctures this notion that the press only did this because of the wartime culture. I think the press was going to do this regardless, and the wartime culture only accelerated. I mean, if you just look at after the Bush defeated Kerry by three percentage points in the 2004 campaign, I mean, the instant, and I mean instant, I mean it came straight from the White House, but it was everywhere, and it was instant, and it was blanketed, was the chatter about Bush's mandate that he had received by defeating Kerry. I mean, it was everywhere. It was the most narrow re-election victory by any sitting president since Woodrow Wilson in 1916. Bush defeated Kerry by the exact same electoral margin that Jimmy Carter defeated Gerald Ford. Mm. And believe me, there was no talk of a mandate back in 76. And but that was just the automatic narrative that was adopted. And from there, I just think throughout 2005, right up until New Orleans, the press was just sort of had this wild, feverish admiration for Bush, though his decline in the polls had begun and it was steady and it was clear.
One of the points in time that you point in your book that I thought was just fascinating to illustrate where the press was the coverage of the war protesters and the polls about where the people were when we went into Iraq.
Yeah, well, it's interesting if you go back, you think right on the eve of the war, you know, if you're turning on CNN or Fox or MSNBC, and you know, they were all about the same. People think Fox is so far to the right, but CNN and NBC, you know, matched them, I think, stride for stride. You know, the polls you know, the whole reason the Bush administration went to the UN because poll after poll after poll showed that, you know, Americans were still very nervous about this unique idea Bush had of launching a preemptive war. I mean, we'd never really done anything. We never really attacked a country which hadn't attacked us or hadn't attacked any of our allies. And poll after poll showed people were nervous. They didn't understand, you know, if this was such a good idea, why so many of our longtime allies weren't supporting us, and why we had to do it now, and things like that. And the polls showed, you know, 40-50% of Americans, you know, preferred diplomacy and were not sure about the war. But if you turned on TV, and studies have been done literally documenting, you know, show by show and guest by guest, you know, so 40 or 50% of the people in say February 2003, you know, were essentially opposed to the war or wanted to see another option, but only about 10 or 12% of the guests invited on TV were skeptics or critics of the war. I mean, by early 2003, I mean, the cable channels had sort of turned into this, you know, unofficial Pentagon TV. Mm-hmm. It was just a revolving door of retired generals talking about whether the war was going to last 8 days or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there was no reflection whatsoever about what was a pretty sizable split among the American people and their nervousness and skepticism about the war. And that extended for at least a year after the invasion.
Let me get to another call, a caller or two here. Michael, you have a question for our guest, Eric Bollert.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Michael Moore had put out the information before Dan Rather ever did, but and why did he get the most? Why did Mr. Rather get the most destruction out of the deal? And number two, you still have Democracy Now! And Air America. How come the Bush administration hasn't been able to shut them down yet?
I'll take the second part first. Dan Rather, well, you know, again, Dan Rather was essentially was telling the same type of story that Michael Moore was, but they got tripped up with these documents. You know, that was CBS's big exclusive. That's what they had that no one else had.
And Michael Moore is a standalone.
Yeah, right. And Michael Moore, I mean, the right, I mean, conservatives hate Michael Moore, but Michael Moore doesn't represent, you know, the mainstream media, and it doesn't represent a target that they have been chasing literally for 30 years since Dan Rather sort of stood up to Richard Nixon. So Dan Rather was a bigger target. They got tripped up with these memos that they couldn't authenticate, and then therefore sort of opened the door to a much larger attack. And you know, let's not kid ourselves. This was not sort of a grassroots campaign against CBS. I mean, this was the full force of the Republican Party and the conservative movement in this country, and that was the full force that CBS was feeling, you know, in the week that followed.
And this cocoon of protection not only covered George W. Bush, but it extended to his entire administration. I mean, you make the point in your book about Cheney's lie that he had never met Edwards during the campaign.
Right. If you remember the vice presidential debate, that was Cheney's big put down of John Edwards. You know, the implication that Edwards was way too inexperienced because it was just Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney had never met John Edwards until they sat down for that debate. That wasn't true, and it was immediately after the debate, Democratic aides explained to all the reporters that they in fact had met three times before. And yet, if you turned on MSNBC and you listen to Tim Russert after the debate, if you listen to Chris Matthews after the debate, and lots of other people, they were going on and on about what a devastating put-down that line was.
And even though it was
fictional. And refused to acknowledge the fact, the slight problem that it simply was not factually true. Remember when Al Gore said some things were factually questionable during his debate in 2000, the press decided that essentially made him... you know, he could not be president because he was exaggerating. But when Dick Cheney made up things about John Edwards, they not only didn't think it was that big a deal, they wouldn't have acknowledged the facts.
The caller made, when we have 2 minutes left here, Eric,
yep.
The caller also raised the question about, well, they haven't been able to kill Air America.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. And Democracy Now! And Air America, they don't play by these mainstream rule games. I mean, they're not part of this Beltway bubble. And so they're not, you know,
but they're not
their careers aren't based on being nice to people.
But they haven't killed anybody yet. I mean, you know, that is true. But if the measurement of the media now is their ability to unseat, to remove from office.
No, I think the Dan Rather thing was very unique. And again, it was their own set of problems. I think in general, they're measured by how effectively they're able to, you know, create the debate and frame the issues on an incredibly Bush-friendly narrative. And they've been doing that across the board.
Eric Bollert, author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for George Bush. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, and we're going to do this. We're going to do a giveaway. We're going to do a giveaway right now. Can we do a giveaway now? Now is not a good time. We'll do a giveaway a little later. We'll do a giveaway a little later of this book. I will be back after the news to talk to the president of Now. Stay with me.
News for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound, that's below that, the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sustain?
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. There is no comment yet from the U.S. military, but Iraqi officials say two missing American soldiers have been found. Rather, their bodies have been found. More from ABC's Jonathan Carl at the Pentagon.
Iraq's defense minister says the bodies of the two missing American soldiers have been found and showed signs they were killed, quote, in a very gruesome manner. The military has been conducting a massive search for the soldiers who were abducted after a firefight with insurgents on Friday.
A spokesman for the U.S. military just said that it wouldn't be appropriate to comment on the matter at this time. President Bush got the news as he was leaving for Vienna, first stop on a European trip in which he'll look for more support in Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton is traveling with
President him. Bush will spend only one day here in the city renowned for Mozart and opera, as the modern drama of North Korea's threatened missile test launch unfolds. The president will consult with leaders of the European Union in what Austria claims is the continent's largest palace. Ann Compton, ABC News, Vienna.
The Senate takes up the controversial issue today of when and how to exit Iraq. One Democratic proposal that they'll look at calls for the president to start bringing the troops home now, but it won't set a date for them all to be home. It's still raining in Houston, has been for days, and now the wet weather has become much more than just an inconvenience. ABC's Mike Von Fremd is there.
Because the rain is falling again in Houston today, people are bracing themselves for the worst. Yesterday, many people were stranded on highways, they were stranded on rooftops. Some of it looked like a small-scale Katrina. The National Guard has been called in to make sure that anyone that needs to be rescued will be quickly taken to high ground. Mike Von Fremd, ABC News, Houston.
Fires continue to burn today across several western states. One of the largest is now burning in Sedona, Arizona. It's charred more than 11,000 acres. This is ABC News.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser-drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
Some advice to sheriff's deputies in West Hollywood, California. If you find an adult with a little pot and he or she is using it in private, look the other way. City Council's passed the non-binding resolution saying it allows authorities to focus on real problems.
Crystal meth is a priority. Cocaine and more serious narcotics, those are priorities. Violent crimes.
Somebody speaking at a forum on it, the resolution does not allow smoking pot in public. A major recall to tell you about, it involves child's cough suppressant. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
Adults may know better than to chew on a medicine patch. Kids, on the other hand, may not. That is why pharmaceutical giant Novartis is recalling its triaminic vapor patches. They're supposed to go on the chest or throat, but apparently some kids put them in their mouths. One chewed on one and had a seizure, prompting the recall. Parents are being told to either throw them out or return them. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, police are looking to question a person of interest in the murder of a Centerville man. 23-year-old Dorian Wilborn of Cahokia is being sought by police in the death of Saul Hallman. The 28-year-old man was found shot to death in an apartment in the private Matheson Manor housing complex Saturday morning. Anyone with any information on Wilborn's whereabouts is asked to call Centerville Police at 618-332-1184. A former American Red Cross employee is awaiting sentencing for stealing the identities of blood donors. Lynetta Medcalf pleaded guilty yesterday to credit card fraud and identity theft. Prosecutors say Medcalf used information from donors to open at least 3 credit card accounts. People who believe they may be victims are asked to call 1-866-908-7747 to report the fraud to the U.S. Attorney's Office by the end of this month. The price tag of Pinnacle Entertainment's downtown St. Louis casino is getting bigger. Pinnacle's board of directors has approved an $80 million increase in the budget for the downtown project. That brings the cost of the casino to $430 million. Pinnacle officials say the adjustment will cover new retail stores, a nightclub, parking improvements, and an increase in the cost of construction materials. Finally, this hour, the Missouri Republican Party is wishing Robert Zolik well as he steps down as the Deputy Secretary of State. Paul Sloka, a spokesperson for the party, says Zolik's resignation says nothing about problems within the Bush administration.
It's obvious that the Deputy Secretary has been interested in pursuing other options in the private sector, so this is just a case of someone looking to move on. I mean, he served a number of presidents, but obviously he had some other interests.
Sloka says Zolik's eventual replacement needs to support the Bush administration and have a good relationship with Condoleezza Rice. He says he has no inside information on who that person may be. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Eastbound 44 from Bowles and Merrimack River Bridge. Slow as people wait to exit onto the 270 exit ramps. Westbound 270 from 111 all the way to Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and 44. Heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh. Look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at 40 and Ladue. Look for heavy volume there. Southbound 270 at Page and 40. Expect some delays as well. Westbound 5570 at the PSB. Look for paving operations having traffic backed up. The right lane's closed and it's backed up west of Route 111. Eastbound 40 at the PSB. Paving operations have the right center lane closed, so expect some delays. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split all the way to Cleves Landing. Stop and go due to an earlier disabled vehicle that was blocking some traffic lanes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Gutter Monster, gutter protection does more than keep leaves out. Call 800-444-1884 and save 20%. Gutter Monster from St. Clair, bringing your home the very best for over 120 years. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies. Chance of showers, a high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy. Another chance for showers, low in the mid-70s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-90s as well. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies and 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
To you. You were born with power.
you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sit down?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that. On Saturday, the Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself, we will be meeting at 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The issue, we're going to be talking about 9/11. We're going to be watching the film, screening the film, discussing the film, Loose Change. It's been on the internet. You think you know about 9/11? No, you don't. You need to come watch this film, have a discussion with us. They took it off the internet and they put it back on. So it's really something that you need to come out and see. We're going to, of course, connect that to some of the local issues that we have going on politically in the town as well. You don't want to miss what you're supposed to be doing every Saturday morning. That's attending the Urban Institute with Irene J. Smith and myself. That's this Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Continental breakfast will be served at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. You don't want to miss that. And my goodness, it just seems like every time we turn around, there's another issue. There's another challenge that is confronting us, and we need to discuss this one. The EEOC. It's like an assault on everything that matters. That's what we're facing with this administration, an assault on everything that matters. And we need to talk about what's going on with the EEOC. And to facilitate that conversation, we have joining us from Washington, D.C., the president of NOW, Kim Gandy. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Outstanding.
You're always outstanding.
So doesn't it feel like it's an assault on everything that matters?
Well, it doesn't just feel that way. It really is.
Fair enough.
That's why it feels that way.
Fair enough.
There's nothing wrong with us.
Fair enough. It certainly is. What's going on with the EEOC right now?
Well, there's another round of proposed budget cuts from the Bush administration on top of a five-year hiring freeze. One of the first things that George Bush did when he came into office 5 years ago was to put a hiring freeze at the EEOC. As a result of this hiring freeze, their staffing is down 20%, meaning they only have 80% of the staffing that they had 5 years ago. And, of course, at that point, they were down for previous years as a result of the budget cuts since the Republicans took over the House in 1994. So what it means is that their caseload is mushrooming. More and more people are waiting longer and longer to have their cases heard or even looked at for the first time. And it means fewer people are getting the justice that they've been promised by employment discrimination laws.
I hear it frequently from callers. I hear it frequently when I go out and speak at different events. People that believe that we have reached a point where there is no longer a need for an EEOC. There's no longer a need for the Civil Rights Act. How do you respond to that? Because for me, it's like, I didn't get the memo, so I didn't know it was over. So, well, how do you respond to that?
Well, you know, if you are or know one of the hundreds of thousands of people who file complaints at the EEOC, you can't possibly think that. But certainly people who have themselves had good experiences in the labor market say, well, you know, I got a job when I finished school, and what's all this stuff about? And certainly there are many employers who don't discriminate. Most employers, most bosses don't sexually harass their employees. But there clearly are employers and bosses who do that, and there has to be a remedy for it.
So how does the EEOC work?
Well, the requirement in, although some states have a human rights commission that you have to go to first, in most cases, the requirement is before you can go to court to sue for employment discrimination, you must file a complaint first with the EEOC and give them an opportunity to try to resolve the complaint, either working with your employer, they try to negotiate something, get fair treatment for you, get you the promotion that you were unfairly passed over for, that kind of thing. But what's happened, of course, is that their staffing has now gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, so there are fewer people to do these investigations, and so often what they just do is they just give you a right to sue letter. They say, I'm sorry, we're just overloaded. Here's a letter that says you can go hire your own lawyer and sue. But that's not really an option for most people.
For most people, it is not. And I'm reminded of the decision that came down from the Supreme Court just last week about people and the ability of people who have been assaulted by the police to go out and because of that ruling that they had that the police no longer have to knock.
Right.
And I believe it was Scalia that said that, well, if the police had the wrong warrant, if they came in and broke your door down and you weren't the person that they were looking for, you can always go out there and sue. There are plenty of firms out there that do civil rights litigation. No, they're not.
No, there aren't.
No, they're not.
For sure. Because you can hardly make a living.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Particularly with the federal judges that we have now, the federal bench has been so stacked that even when you do take a civil rights case and win it, you're supposed to get reasonable attorney's fees, but often the fees that are given to you are so unreasonable that they can't begin to justify years and years and years of litigation, which is what it takes. And so the EEOC is the court of a first and last resort to an awful lot of people, and they can't do their jobs without money and staff. And now they're closing offices. They've closed a number of EEOC offices around the country.
How can they close offices? Isn't there some kind of legislation that says that they have to be open, that there should be an office open? How can they close them?
I guess they could close all of them except one.
Wow.
That's literally what they're doing. They're closing down the local offices, the regional offices, and the lion's share of the proposed budget cuts is to the local and regional offices, which themselves hire the chunk of the lawyers, but they handle 42% of all of the employment complaints.
There's an interesting statistic that you include in your release on this issue, that in 2005, 63% of the 75,000 plus filings were based on race or sexual discrimination, including sexual harassment.
Yes, isn't that a huge number?
That is a huge
number. Of all of the complaints filed with the EEOC. So it tells us very clearly that race and sex discrimination are alive and well, and from our observation, inextricably linked. When you go to a place of employment and you find race discrimination, you look a little bit farther and you'll find sex discrimination, and vice versa.
And that's always been my position. You know, the person that is abusive, the cop that abuses somebody's rights on the streets, they go home and they beat their wife too. I mean, there is a connection between that type of behavior.
Absolutely, there is absolutely a connection, and homophobia, I think,
yes,
is part of that as well. That there is a certain kind of person who is intolerant of anyone who is unlike themselves and sees themselves as superior to everyone else.
So how are we doing within the halls of Congress as we try to fight the cuts at EEOC? What's Congress doing?
Well, it's an ongoing battle. We have the Republicans in charge of both the House and the Senate, and of course they're behind the Bush budget 100%, and so we spend most of our time trying to get the few people, the few Republicans, the majority of the Democrats that are supportive to take on these issues. And it's difficult because there are so many issues that they're taking on. And, generally they say, we have to draw the line somewhere. We can't fight them on every single front. And, of course, my answer is, why not?
Why not? They are.
Why not fight them on every front? They're fighting us on every front.
And in terms of leadership on this issue, do we have on the Democratic side of the aisle, on a progressive side of the aisle, do we have, Kim, the same type of energy that we had 20, 30 years ago around the issue of rights for women and protection of women's rights? Do we just have a few people out there that really support the issue but not the energy? I mean, it feels to me like the energy is not quite the same.
I particularly in terms of Congress, it is really difficult to, of course, the Republicans are opponents of women's rights just down the line.
Period, that.
Which is really unthinkable to me, because Republican members of Congress have mothers. Many of them have wives and daughters and sisters. It really is unthinkable to me that the idea of equality for women is such an anathema to the Republicans. But even in terms of the Democrats, particularly on issues like reproductive freedom, it's hard to even get them riled up on the issue of birth control, which is under extended assault. You know, I didn't see what happened in your state Senate in Missouri, but the state House voted to ban the use of all public health funds for contraception.
And I don't think it passed.
And, I was so shocked when I saw that. And then I read farther and was even more shocked when I saw that the proposal which actually passed the Missouri House, was that any entity which referred for contraception would lose their Missouri state public health funds, which means a homeless shelter that tells the women how to find Planned Parenthood down the street has now referred for contraception and would lose their state public health funds. Imagine.
And I'm feeling that, Kim, and I'm wondering, because I've had this conversation with progressives, I've had this conversation with people of African descent, and the issue of, have we done a good job of bringing up the generations behind us on the issues of women's rights? Are we prepared? Have we prepared our soldiers to fight this battle? Because I think it's very clear that when you look back at the history of the Republican Party and that conservative component, they've been strategizing for over 30 years. Have we been doing have we done a good job of that?
You know, I think that there's an element of human nature involved in not wanting our kids to go through what we went through, and wanting to protect our kids, and not wanting our sons and daughters to be to be looking around every corner for sexism and racism and discrimination. We don't want that for them because so many of us grew up with that. But I think that in some ways we've gone a little bit overboard because now sometimes people don't see it when it's right there looking them in the face.
Or it takes an extreme example for, mm-hmm. to satisfy as proof that a problem exists.
Exactly.
If I don't see a sign up that says no coloreds allowed, then I don't believe that racism exists.
Exactly. And the same thing is true with women's rights. You know, I hear young women say, well, you know, we have equality now. So what, you know, what more do we need? It's really up to us. And yet when these same young women hit the glass ceiling or they find that they're not entitled to maternity leave or, you know, any of them, or they're sexually harassed by their boss, it's a huge shock to them because they weren't prepared for it. They didn't know that it was there. They didn't believe it was there. And so then it's twice as great a shock to them. And sometimes they still turn it inward and they say, well, it must have been something I did. Maybe I did something to ask for that.
And then there's a new form, or I don't know if it's new, but it's something that the numbers are getting greater and greater, discrimination based on pregnancy.
Oh, exactly. Well, that's gone up. EEOC complaints up 31% in the last 10 years.
What is that?
I don't know it, but it makes me think of what happened to Elizabeth Vargas, which we were really attacked for saying, you know, well, look at this. This woman is supposed to be going on maternity leave and coming back to a job. That's what the Family and Medical Leave Act says, and here she's being pushed out. And there was a lot of pushback on that. Well, you should. She that was her choice, and she really.
So she wanted to lose that gig?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the number one job in television. She just said, "Oh yeah, oh, okay. I think I'll take a few years off here, and you give that seat to somebody else."
And I had it for a minute and a half.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, and now there is, I don't know if you've seen it, but in New York Magazine, which I don't normally read, but somebody sent me this huge, long expose of this whole issue. And the bottom, and it's very thoroughly researched, very long story, all the ins and outs, apparently interviewed everybody in the world starting back in February, even before this happened. And, you know, the bottom line, she was pushed.
Mm.
She was pushed, whether it was because of her pregnancy or whether it was because Charlie Gibson said, I'm not co-anchoring with that woman. That's, you know, and they gave in to that. You know, you could argue it either way, but the reality is you have...
And if I can throw this in, Kim, don't we... And this is just a possibility, but the way that it seems to work, in from my view... Could television also be saying, look, we've got Katie Couric, you know, we've got
one's enough,
you know, we got her, let's do what we do and go back to the male thing.
Exactly, and I think that may indeed, especially with the, you know, Bob Schieffer and that crowd looking for the gravitas, if you will, of the late Peter Jennings.
And also there's got to be a lot of, as the kids say, a lot of hating about the, like Katie Couric or not, think that she's qualified or not, but they're going to be looking at her pocketbook too, how much money she's getting paid for this. So there's got to be, I suspect that there's some of the hating going on for that as well, that a woman is getting paid more than a man ever has in this industry.
Oh, yeah, these guys are not liking this at all. But, you know, think about this. Turn it around just a little bit, and if instead of Elizabeth Vargas being the one in the seat while her partner Bob Woodruff was in the hospital injured in Iraq, what if Elizabeth Vargas had been the one injured in Iraq and Bob Woodward had been sitting in that seat all these months?
Would he have lost his gig?
Do we think they would have kicked Bob Woodruff off in favor of Charlie Gibson?
Absolutely not.
Not likely.
Can we,
woman of color who is pregnant, you know, was a really easy target, and either either ABC did her in or they gave in to it.
And we have to take a break. I'm talking to Kim Gandy. She's the president of NOW. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sears Auto Centers. Westbound 255, Jefferson Barracks Bridge, all roadways reopened after earlier accidents and a disabled tractor trailers. Traffic is still slowing near DuPont on southbound 255. Route 3 is jammed all the way back to the south end of Columbia. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park and Merrimack River Bridge, look for an accident. Right lane's blocked with slight delays as you pass the accident scene. Southbound 270 from McKelvey to Dorset, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked and there's traffic jamming all the way back to near Highway 40. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic as people wait to exit on 270. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 and Canal Bridge, that traffic's easing. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at New Florence and 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes all the way into 79, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got paving operations, right lanes closed, and traffic jams near Exchange Avenue. And westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears Automotive Centers. You trust your car to take you places this summer, but who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers offer full-service bumper-to-bumper car care. So take your car to the place that protects it best, Sears Auto Centers. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly sunny, chance of showers today, high in the lower 90s this evening, partly cloudy. Another chance for showers, low in the mid-70s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s, and Thursday, partly sunny, a chance of showers and high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies and 75 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Make me wanna holler the way they do my life, girl. Make me wanna holler the way they
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is Kim Gandy. She's the president of NOW. She's joining us from Washington, D.C., and that's the National Organization of Women. And Kim, welcome back.
My pleasure.
I was reflecting on the discussion we had before the break about Elizabeth Vargas. And, you know, Kim, to me, it just reminds us of why we're having this problem with getting the energy up and the excitement up and the focus up from Congress on this EEOC cuts in funding.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't see women responding the way that they should be responding to the Elizabeth Vargas situation. And you all took some hits on that.
Oh, we definitely took some hits on it. Of course, we expected that. Nobody expected ABC to say, oh, yeah, you're right, we discriminated against her because she was pregnant. Thanks for pointing that out. I mean, of course, we knew that ABC was going to defend themselves and come out swinging. So that's, you know, that's part of the deal when you're going to raise an issue like that. But we see that pregnancy discrimination is on the rise just from the EEOC reports. And let me tell you, it's got to be pretty bad for you to go and file an EEOC complaint of pregnancy discrimination. I mean, it's not something that is as ongoing as sex discrimination or race discrimination. It's kind of a one-time thing. And so it's got to be pretty serious for you to go to the EEOC and file a complaint. And here they are up 31% complaints of pregnancy discrimination.
Mm.
It's a serious problem for women everywhere. And Elizabeth Vargas is just a really, really high-profile, well-paid example of that. And think, if she can't have a maternity leave and come back to a job, what on earth could the rest of us expect from the workplace?
And the interesting part of that New York Magazine article was also how they brought in Diane Sawyer into it, too.
Yeah.
The issue of why Diane Sawyer was not included in this.
Well, exactly. And according to this New York story, Diane really wanted this job last year, and several years ago before Peter Jennings even, but she took one for the team essentially in going to Good Morning America and getting up at 4 a.m. every morning because she was the network star and they needed somebody to revive Good Morning America, which was just in the tanker as far as ratings. And so, you know, Diane Sawyer was the good soldier, as it were, and went to Good Morning America, brought it back, brought its ratings back, put it to, you know, pretty much at the top of the game now, especially with Katie Couric gone from Today. Good Morning America is clearly at the top. But then, you know, it was time for her reward. And who gets it? Not, you know, Diane Sawyer, but the, you know, Johnny Come Lately, Charlie Gibson.
Or Charlie the Conqueror, as they call it in the New York Magazine.
Exactly.
And the other piece of it is that do we know if Woodruff's job is still open for him?
Well, I'm assuming it is. They've certainly told him. In fact, according to the article, they've told him and his family that there's a chair for him whenever he gets well.
So tell me why there's
but
not
they,
a chair
but
for
But they didn't tell him it wasn't the anchor chair.
And where's the chair for Elizabeth Vargas, who's simply pregnant?
Apparently over on 2020, prime time.
Mm.
But they'll find some place for her.
And I wanted to, because I always love having you on the show. I want to move to another topic, if we may. I'd like to move to talking about how women are viewed and that issue. I want to move to what happened at Duke and how the woman that is making the accusation of rape, how she has been portrayed in the press. And how do you, when you look at how this story is being told, how her story is being told, and how this issue is being fought out in the press, do you see much difference in how the issue is being fought out in the press from 10, 20 years ago? Is there anything different?
Well, certainly there's, the difference is that I think there was a lot more respect for rape victims in the past than there is now. I say in the more recent past, 30 years ago, there wasn't any respect for rape victims. And we, you know, we made such progress with that, with the recognition of the impact of rape on women. But now it seems to be going the other way. But so much of that is focused, it seems, on cable television, on the shows like Hannity and Combs and O'Reilly Factor, Rush Limbaugh on the radio. These right wing programs that are disguised as balanced, but are not in fact, and they have really dragged this woman through the mud.
And I think it's fascinating that despite the fact that she's a mother, despite the fact that she's a student, the only connection to her name is that she's a stripper.
Yeah, the stripper this, the stripper that. But, you know, one of the men who has been indicted, has a previous conviction for assault.
And
they don't call him the batterer.
No.
They call him the lacrosse player.
Yes, they do. Or the Duke student, or the member of the lacrosse team.
Yes, but they don't refer to his actual prior convictions for assault, yet they refer to what she was doing at the time as though it were her entire identity, and there was nothing important about her, not the fact that she was trying to provide for her child, not the fact that she was struggling to get through college so that she would be able to provide for herself and her child over the long term.
And also, Kim, there's not a discussion either of the fact that this is dangerous and why it's dangerous. It's not dangerous because she's dancing. It's dangerous because of the men that are paying for this.
Exactly, exactly. And why isn't there any discussion of that? Why aren't they saying, what's wrong with the upbringing of these young men?
Because they come from the most privileged of places, and yet and still it was a dangerous thing for this young woman to do that.
It was. There's no question that it is dangerous to do that. I also believe that women who take steps like that that are dangerous to themselves are really desperate. That they are desperate to find a way to stay in school, as this young woman clearly was, desperate to find a way to both stay in school and support her daughter without going on welfare, which would not have enabled her to stay in school or support her daughter. And so she did something that was risky. But it shouldn't be risky. You know, you should be able to walk down the street naked and not be raped.
Fact, and absolute fact. And what I also think is interesting is the howling from the same camps when Jesse Jackson found a way or was trying to find a way to get her a scholarship so that she wouldn't have to.
Yes.
She wouldn't have to do that. And the howling and the criticism of that act.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if she didn't have to pay tuition, she probably could have supported her daughter working at McDonald's part-time. But she couldn't support her daughter and herself and pay her tuition without doing something risky. In this case, it was a different kind of risk. In other circumstances, she might have taken a job washing windows, which is extremely high-paying because you're 20 stories up dangling by a rope.
But risky.
It's risky. And so it pays well.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to the president of the National Organization of Women, Kim Gandy. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with us.
This is your Wake-Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The Capitol Hill Police Department is said to be very teed off because a federal grand jury has refused to indict Representative Cynthia McKinney for assaulting one of their officers. A spokesman for the police union says that sends a message that it's okay to hit a police officer, and the House Ethics Committee needs to step in and take a look at her conduct. McKinney has admitted to striking Officer Paul McKenna in late May when he tried to prevent her from going into a House office building because he said he did not recognize her.
but he did not place her under arrest at that time either. The union spokesperson said the Fraternal Order of Police would be sending a letter to the House Ethics Committee this week asking for that investigation, citing a passage in the ethics manual that says members of Congress must conduct themselves at all times in a credible manner. And Dateline Los Angeles. Big Brother is getting closer. Just this weekend, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department began testing an unmanned aerial drone called the Skyseer. This device looks almost like a toy, but uses GPS technology and has a camera on its belly which sends video to a computer at a command center in the sheriff's office. It's all but silent and is very difficult to be seen from the ground. It flies up to 30 miles an hour and has low light vision and infrared capabilities. A spokesman for the sheriff's department says the cost to operate the Skyseer will be a fraction of what it spends on operating its fleet of 18 helicopters. The spokesman said people should not be overly concerned about having their privacy violated because everyone is already under surveillance with cameras watching people in stores and on the streets. This is your wake-up call global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me right here on WGNU 920 AM on Friday nights for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Yeah, right.
Hello, I'm Lucille Mitchell of the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. The Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present the broadcast every Sunday morning. The focus of the program lies in the areas of health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. For information that you can use in your own life, listen every Sunday morning at 9 for the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast right here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I don't know what to say to you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Kim Gandy. She's the president of NOW. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Kim, to the issue of what is going on with the EEOC now, we say that that there are enough women in Congress to address this issue. Is the answer to the absence of enthusiasm or the absence of a fight spirit, is it due to the lack of number? Do we need more women? Do we need different types of women? What do we need? What do we need? I believe that we have lost our guest. We have lost our guest, but that's okay. We'll get her back. We will get her back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 1-877-920-WGNU. That is my number. And if you want a toll-free, long-distance me, you can do that at, again, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm amazed at this article that Kim Gandy was referring to out of the New York Magazine entitled Charlie the Conqueror. And the quote from Elizabeth Vargas is fascinating to me. As you know, Elizabeth Vargas is pregnant, or as you should know, Elizabeth Vargas is pregnant. She shared the stage with Woodruff. Woodruff went to Iraq, got hit by a bomb, and he's recuperating. Elizabeth Vargas is pregnant. She's stepping down from her gig and not going to have a gig to return to once she has her baby. And the question is whether or not she was pushed out of her job because of her pregnancy. And what message does that say to other women out there? There are laws that are supposed to protect you when you are pregnant, that you do get your gig back. And that is not happening. What is, again, interesting to me about this is the quote that comes from Elizabeth Vargas, that it's a private decision. And I should be able to step down from my job if I want to without public comment. But, you know, what else is she going to say? They're giving her another gig over it at 2020. But it's certainly not the same as being on the news every night, prime time. I guess there's only room for one at the top. There's room for only one at the top. 1-877-920-WGNU is the number. And when you have women that make comments on this, there are a lot of women out there that have been asked, how do you feel about this? Empathy, respect, disappointment, and there's a whole lot of suspicion out there. I can't believe that a woman who's worked so hard to get where she is would just resign like that, says one woman. I think they pushed her out. I think they pushed her out. Women get it. Women absolutely get it. And the question is what do we have to protect them so that this doesn't happen? And who's doing the protecting in Washington, D.C.? As I said, my guest this morning is Kim Gandy, the president of NOW. And, Kim, a question that's been percolating through my head through this discussion about the EEOC and what's happening to high-profile women out there as well as low-profile women. Do we have enough women in Congress to address this issue, to put together the requisite concern about this? Is that the issue? Do we need more women in Congress?
Well, we clearly need more women in Congress, but we need more men and women in Congress who care about women's rights and who are open to seeing what's happening to women in this country. Certainly some of our best advocates in Congress are men. Ted Kennedy, for example, is an advocate for you know, every advance that we've made for women's rights. But women are still vastly underrepresented. 15% seems to be our glass ceiling. 15% in the House, 15% in the Senate, 15% of governors. We can't seem to break through 15%.
And it's 1% on nightly news.
Oh, yeah, I would be amazed if it's even 1%.
Well, no, I mean, with Katie Couric, it's just 1% now on national news. So we do need to get more women in Congress.
We absolutely need to have more women in Congress. We need more women governors. We need more women invisible leadership positions of every kind. You know, I got a lot of grief for leaning on ABC for canceling Commander in Chief instead of just giving them some better writers, which they definitely needed. But the idea that here we have our first woman president, West Wing was going off. Why didn't they hire a bunch of the West Wing writers? They were good. But here we had a show that I could actually watch with my daughters, who are both in middle school, and talk about. You know, they wouldn't watch West Wing. They couldn't follow it. It was too fast-paced, and they couldn't keep up with it. But they could watch Commander-in-Chief, and we talked about whether, as president, whether she had made the right decisions and what kinds of things she should have taken into account. And, I mean, we had real discussions about this. It's one of the few shows that really showed a woman leader who was strong and decisive and also doing the right thing. Maybe it was a little Pollyanna-ish, but I think it was an important role model.
What,
girls don't see many of those.
What does it say about the state of network television when a desperate housewife makes it and a commander-in-chief does not?
Well, commander-in-chief definitely could have used better writers, and I know that was one of the drawbacks, but they didn't really give it a shot. And I think
they took it off
with where the money is.
But I mean, coming back to my question, what is it? How is it that women, that network television believes that women can sell?
Exactly. That's the only, they think that women can sell as comics, basically, or as comic relief,
mm-hmm.
or as victims. You look at a really successful show like 24 and see that with very few exceptions, the women are all either victims or traitors.
Mm.
And then, you know, a show where the woman's actually strong, like Alias, is also canned, also by ABC,
mm.
by the way.
Mm.
There's a pattern here.
Absolutely. And I guess coming back to the issue here of Elizabeth Vargas, real life, what is the message to women about getting pregnant while working?
Well, I think the message to women and the message to men, too, is, you know, you ought to know your place.
Mm.
Once you become a mother, you're different. And, you know, maybe you shouldn't be so high profile. Maybe you're a bad mother if you're not looking to leave your high profile job and stay home with your kids. Must be something wrong with you.
Mm.
And I think there is really an effort to turn it inward. I mean, right down to the fact that, again, who knows, you know, whether it was done voluntarily or not, but clearly the network told Elizabeth Vargas that she was being canned, and I think it was either because of her pregnancy or hiding behind her pregnancy, but either way, it was used in a very high-profile way to remove her from public view, and it sends a terrible lesson to women and to young women about what their options are. You know, it used to be that you could either be a mother or you could have a career, and my generation said, you know what, you can have them both. And I don't want the message my daughters get from this is that you can't, you have to pick only one. Men don't ever have to choose.
There's still a seat waiting for Woodruff.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. President of Now, Kim Gandy, thank you.
Oh, it's always wonderful, Liz. I love being on your show.
Thank you so much. I love having you. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back in the next hour. We're not done here. We're not finished bringing you the information and the issues, so stay with us.
You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The U.S. military says it has found remains in Iraq that it believes are those of two American soldiers who have been missing for days. Coalition spokesman Major General William Caldwell.
Coalition forces have in fact recovered what we believe to be the remains of our two soldiers that have been missing since Friday night.
The word came first today from an Iraqi defense minister.
They were found dead at a power plant near Yusufiya, near the town where they disappeared from Friday night. The defense ministry major general did say that they appeared to show signs of torture, that it was a fairly gruesome scene.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad. President Bush is on his way to Vienna for a stop on his latest European trip. He's looking for more support from the European Union when it comes to Iraq and a firm stance against Iran's nuclear program. It's still raining in Houston.
Entire freeways were flooded out, stalling cars, stranding drivers, and overwhelming emergency services. Emergency crews made dramatic rescues using high-profile garbage trucks to bring people and animals to high ground.
ABC's Mike Von Fremd in Houston. They could use some rain. Actually, they could use a lot of rain in a handful of western states where wildfires continue to burn. One of the largest fires is burning in Sedona, Arizona.
The fire here is now only 5% contained, and the forecast for later today is for yet more extreme dry heat. Winds are expected to die down. That will help. But firefighters here know that the long, hot wildfire season has now really begun.
ABC's Neil Karlinski in Sedona. Former Bush administration official David Safavian has been found guilty in the first trial to emerge from the Jack Abramoff influence peddling scandal. Safavian was accused of covering up the assistance he provided to the lobbyist. The National Transportation Safety Board is going to take a long look at some of the nation's runways. The problem, many are too short. They don't have the necessary buffer to protect a jet that overshoots its landing. This is ABC News.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser-drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
Checking the money scope at abcnews.com, the Dow is up 16 points and the Nasdaq is ahead a fraction. When a bear wants something and he wants it now, and there is nothing that you can do to stop him. Case in point from ABC Steve Taylor.
The sliding glass door had been roughly pushed open. The ceramic canister was broken open. The woman in West Vancouver, British Columbia, came home to find a young bear in her kitchen eating the contents of the canister. Oatmeal. Police came. They'd had other calls recently. The bears were coming out of hibernation later than usual, but no less hungry. This bear wouldn't go. A standoff till the oatmeal was finished. Then the bear went out the door. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Analysts say dry spring weather helped give new home building a boost in May. After 3 months of decline, the Commerce Department says the construction starts were up 5% over April's numbers. Economists say higher mortgage rates could bring back the slide, though, in coming months. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ransmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a woman is facing charges in a weekend murder in East St. Louis. 37-year-old Blewis Duncan was charged yesterday with first-degree murder in the death of David Mitchell. The 39-year-old man was found murdered Saturday in the 400 block of North 23rd Street in East St. Louis. Police say Mitchell died of blunt force trauma. Duncan was arrested shortly after Mitchell's death. The secretary to the former East St. Louis police chief is on probation for 2 years for conspiracy to obstruct justice. Janera Carson Slaughter was sentenced yesterday after pleading guilty last March. Carson Slaughter was the secretary for former East St. Louis police chief Ronald Matthews. She and Matthews were both charged in connection with an investigation into whether an auxiliary officer illegally possessed a firearm. Matthews is serving a prison term for obstruction of justice, conspiracy to obstruct justice, and perjury. The public is being reminded to check on elderly relatives and neighbors with the temperatures expected to stay in the 90s throughout the week. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services reports that it is more difficult for the elderly to sweat.
Their skin is thinner, their cooling mechanism, which is their, you know, their the sweating and all that, doesn't work as efficiently as it used to, and so their bodies really don't handle the heat as well as they used to.
That's spokesperson Brian Quinn. Call 800-392-0210 for cooling centers in Missouri and 800-252-8966 for cooling centers in Illinois. Finally this hour, construction is underway on an expansion at the St. Louis Job Corps Center on Goodfellow. The new 16,000-square-foot building will add a modern cafeteria and culinary arts training center to the campus. The project costs more than $3 million and is expected to be finished by McGrath & Associates next March. Job Corps is a no-cost vocational training program for young people administered by the U.S. Department of Labor. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Gutter Monster, gutter protection that does more than keep leaves out. Call 800-444-1884 and save 20%. Gutter Monster from St. Clair, bringing your home the very best for over 120 years. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 255 Jefferson Barracks Bridge, all roadways reopen after an earlier accident disabled tractor trailers. Traffic should be easing starting through the bridge. People near the end of the earlier jam are now seeing long delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to Merrimack River Bridge, look for that accident's been cleared. Eastbound 44 at Lewis, all roadways reopen after pieces of metal were laying in the traffic lanes. There are a number of areas where you have road construction going on, so just use caution, slow your vehicle down, and try to get through them as quickly as you can. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have the right lane closed and traffic still jammed all the way back to 111. Eastbound 40 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for paving operations have the roadways reduced to 2 lanes and traffic is slowed near 10th Street. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the PSB. Look for traffic still building at this hour. Westbound 64 at 255 and Poplar Street Bridge stop and go. And westbound East Bridge traffic is slow as the surface of the street. They're trying to do some roadway patchwork there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny, 30% chance of showers today, high in the lower 90s this evening, partly cloudy with a chance for showers, low in the mid-70s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s, and Thursday, partly sunny, high around 90. Currently, we have 80 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 79. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Power. No.
King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget that this show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, that's quite all right. Go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. And also, I want to heads up everybody, don't forget this Saturday, the Urban Institute will be meeting Irene J. Smith and myself. This week we are going to be taking a look at 9/11. There's a film or a movie that has been released on the internet, snatched off the internet, put back up on the internet, Loose Change. We're going to be taking a look at that because we need to take a look at that. So I encourage you all to come on out, bring your mothers, your fathers, your sisters, your brothers, all the babies. Come on out to 1020 North Taylor at 9 a.m. this Saturday. The Urban Institute will be taking a look at this film, dissecting this film, having a discussion on this film, and tying it to the issues that confront us today in the city of St. Louis. So come on out. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The time is 9 a.m. and the day this Saturday. Urban Institute, be there. These are amazing times that we live in. And if I had a nickel for every time that I've said these are amazing times that we live in, I'd be a wealthy woman. It seems like paranoia has been validated on so many different levels. You're no longer paranoid, you're a prophet. Whew. This administration is an administration that is jaw-dropping. When we hear stories of the push has already begun to pardon Scooter, to pardon him. It hasn't even been tried yet, but the discussion is already to pardon him. There is an arrogance. There is an aggression. There is a understanding, it appears, in this administration that we will do what we want, when we want to, and how we want to. Shut up, sit down, get out of my way. One of the most telling for those of us that have been called paranoid, now to be called prophets, is the spy, the wiretapping, the spying on us. And I think that the great the intersection where we are right now and in this issue of who this administration is and what they are willing to do and how far they are willing to go to get it done is the line from the movie Hellboy. You know, how far are you going to be one of the things out here that push back against this? Okay, they've thrown the gauntlet. We can spy when we want to, how we want to, shut up, sit down, get out of the way. How are we going to push back? Well, we're going to discuss that today. The American Friends Service Committee is suing the U.S. Defense Department for unlawful surveillance. Pushing back. The regional director for the American Friends Service Committee is joining us from Chicago, Michael McConnell, to talk about this lawsuit. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How
great to be here.
It's great to have you here. Pushing back.
Well, I think we're trying to at least use the courts as much as we can to, one, get some information. The other part of this administration, which I agree with everything you've mentioned, is a tremendous secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been unwilling to release information about what they're actually doing. And so we have to rely on leaks or, you know, the people within who are whistleblowers, people who have taken some courage to say this isn't right, and we're going to release this to the public so the public has some sense of what's going on. But we think it's probably only the tip of the iceberg.
And we're not talking about the what you're asking for is something different than what's going on with Internet providers.
This is yes, exactly. There were really two big spying revelations in December. One was that the Pentagon was spying on peace groups, Quakers, 79-year-old grandmothers. And this was part of military surveillance, which is particularly outlawed, which was laws written after the COINTELPRO of the 60s and 70s, that the military cannot spy on citizens. So the Pentagon was spying. We had two meetings and activities in Ohio that AFSC was sponsoring. It one was a protest at a military recruitment office. Another was simply getting ready and planning to go to a march in New York. So they had some kind of surveillance. We were in a Pentagon database that basically said these events were under surveillance.
Now, how did you find out that you were in the database?
Well, this was broken by NBC News in mid-December, and we don't know exactly what their source was, but they did put up a database on their website, and they had a story about it. Then later that same week, then the whole NSA surveillance wiretapping broke. So it's really two different entities in the government. One's the Pentagon, one's the National Security Administration, NSA. So,
and one's surveil and one is wiretapping.
Right.
They're both spying,
right,
but different types of ways.
That's right.
So you talked about COINTELPRO. Is this different than what happened then? Is everything old new again?
Well, there's a lot of similarities. Again, we're not sure how widespread this is and whether... but we think there's a lot of similarities. For example, in addition to the Pentagon and NSA, in Chicago, we have had Chicago police infiltrating meetings of what we found out in 2002, and we don't even know what's happened since. But, again, it's hard to get the information. But what do these people do when they're doing the surveillance? Are they infiltrating? Do they participate in meetings? Do they change the course of the meetings by what they say and do? That was a lot of what happened in COINTELPRO with the people who actually got integrated into organizations and disrupted them in some ways, besides doing the surveillance. We don't know exactly what all the folks, these spies, are doing within our organizations.
And you filed a lawsuit. We know the American Civil Liberties Union has filed a lawsuit. We know the Center for Constitutional Rights has filed a lawsuit, again, for different issues, but spying nevertheless. Are you all going to be confronted with this issue of national security as the explanation for why you can't even file your lawsuit, or why we can't go any further?
That's a real possibility. They'll say in fact, they've already said it in a courtroom in Detroit with the NSA spying that, we can't release this information as a matter of national security, which has been, throughout the decades, a typical response by government.
Was that the response back in the COINTELPRO?
That's exactly. So that this is this blanket, we can't tell you because it's national security. And when things come out, sometimes when they do come out, it's quite clear that it had nothing to do with national security. It had all to do with covering up illegal activity or covering up government interference in what is legitimate First Amendment freedom of assembly, freedom of speech activities.
Well, the government that was being challenged back then, and the government that is being challenged right now, or the administration that was challenged back then and the administration that's being challenged now, they're both, one used it and one is trying to use this governmental secret. It says, has there anything that has happened between 1960-something and 2006 that gives more authority, more weight for the government to be able to use this as a defense?
Not legally. The president wants to say that when he was given authorization to use force in Iraq, that covers everything, that he can do spying, that he can do everything because of that one okay by Congress back in 2002. The legal basis for that seems pretty flimsy, and even the rational basis for that seems pretty flimsy. He will try to use it. And again, that's, I think, where people, citizens, do have to make an outcry about this and say, look, this you can't just say national security. You can't just say, I was authorized with the Iraq war to do this. These are laws that have been broken, and clearly broken in the sense that these laws were intended in the 70s. The Church Committee that was formed, Frank Church was the head of the congressional committee that investigated what happened with COINTELPRO. And these laws were written specifically to keep the military from spying on our own citizens and from keeping the NSA or any other government body from wiretapping legitimate calls of people here in this country.
This administration is saying, if I understand what how you all ended up in a DOD database, the database was, from their perspective, related to potential terrorist threats.
Mm-hmm.
How is that significant?
Well, one database had this Quaker meeting in Florida, and a 79-year-old grandmother. Now, here's the real kicker. I mean, if Quakers are being spied on as a terrorist threat,
potential terrorist threat.
I don't know. One reporter said to me, "What is it, the Quaker jihadists that they're worried about?" You know, I think that the point is, if they are spending time, energy, money collecting this kind of data, which then goes into big databases and keeps getting thrown up all the time, and somebody has to look at all this data.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What are they doing with this information? Do we have any clue as to what they're doing with it besides gathering it?
Well, one source that I have found says that a lot of these databases with DOD, Pentagon, NSA, they all get thrown into one larger database. And this is where the NSA surveillance, they said this is probably the largest database that ever has existed within the U.S. government, maybe in the world. And somebody, if they're going to say these are credible threats, somebody has to analyze this. Somebody has to figure out what's going on. And if that's happening, then they're not working on real threats. So, one, it's a waste of taxpayers' money. Two, it's totally impractical to think that if all this all this data is collected, that it's like finding a needle in a haystack when you should be looking, really getting the magnet that is attracted to the needle as opposed to just throwing more hay on the stack.
Well, what do you say to the citizen out here that says, my name's in a database? You know, I still get to go shop for groceries. I still have to go pick my kids up after school. So my name's in a database. Why should the average citizen be concerned about that?
Well, I think that there's a great quote, Martin Niemöller in Germany. You know, somebody said, well, they came for the communists, but I wasn't a communist, so I didn't say anything. And then they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, so, and I didn't say anything. And then they came for me, and there was nobody left to speak up for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is our point. If Quakers are under surveillance, it's mostly white, privileged people in this country, then everybody is at risk. And if you are at all vulnerable, which could be African-American, Latino, an undocumented person in this society, those are all more vulnerable than we are, and that anybody is going to be at risk.
And in terms of filing this lawsuit, where are you in it? Where are you in the process?
Well, it's just been filed, and there will be a hearing on it. We're not sure the date yet. This is like one tool, one way of trying to get at this. I think the other way that would be more of a citizen initiative to call for real congressional hearings into this. Arlen Specter has threatened to call the heads of the telecommunications companies for a hearing in Washington, but he's under tremendous pressure.
But he backed out of it.
He's backed out of it because under tremendous pressure from the Bush administration to leave this alone. And so I think it's going to be up to citizen pressure to say, we need the information. What is a democracy if people don't have all the information they need to make an informed vote and decisions? We need information. The only way, I mean, the courts, possibly we will get this, but another way is through hearings that have subpoena power that can bring in people under oath to testify about what they did or did not do.
And in terms of this particular lawsuit, are you the only party to it? And is it because that you're the only one that has standing, the only one that knows that they were in the database? Do you expect that anybody's going to join you?
No, there are a number of other groups. There's a whole coalition called United for Peace and Justice that were also part of this. We're kind of the lead plaintiff because, you know, it just shows the stupidity of the whole surveillance that, again, a Quaker group, a group that stands for nonviolence, for peace, is under surveillance, which it just kind of shows the contradiction that, you know, they always say, well, we're fighting for peace and freedom in Iraq, which isn't true anyway, but that's what is told, and here we are undermining freedom of speech and assembly here at home.
And I guess that there are so many scary components to the fact that this surveillance has taken place. But for me, one of the scariest pieces of it is that the Bush administration is saying that the threat of terrorism maintains a change or mandates a change in our government policy. And that's scary.
It's very scary.
Because we didn't decide that. The people didn't decide that. Bush decided that.
Yes, right. Well, this is where we feel like what is really at stake here is that they want to muffle dissent. They want to make people fearful. We don't know, you know, now that when the news came out that AFSC was under surveillance, does that mean people will not call us,
mm-hmm.
will not want to be associating with us? Or how does this play out? I have talked with people who said, well, I don't know if I want to go to that demonstration, or I don't know if I want to go to that meeting because maybe I'm going to be have my phone tapped. So it's a chilling effect
mm-hmm.
on dissent, which is what we're trying to counter. The democracy in this nation was built upon dissent. That's how we founded this country, by dissent. And if that's taken away from us, the essence of this country is eroded.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece of this is that another component to this, the this administration has, since 9/11, has utilized an arm of the government to go after the bank accounts, to close out the money stream of organizations that they say are connected to terrorism. Is that a concern of your organization, that your appearance in this terrorist database will be used as a means to go after the funding for your organization?
Well, it's certainly possible. We hope not. And we have been meeting and working with Muslim groups who are under attack in this way, and even individual Muslims who the FBI will come up to them on the street and say, meet me at Dunkin' Donuts. I want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them do it because they don't know their rights, and they're fearful. And I think
I need you to hold that thought, please, because we need to take a break. I'm talking to the Regional Director for American Friends Service Committee from Chicago, Michael McConnell. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about your good government spying on you in a lawsuit that's been filed to challenge this. I said, I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind of people complaining. Sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my word.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Pat Cook at Holiday World and Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. People tell me we have fun at Holiday World all the time. At Holiday World, your time is the most important thing you share with us. This year, we built a new Thanksgiving section in Holiday World and a new Action River in Splash and Safari, so you can spend less time waiting and more time riding and having fun. You'll have the time of your life on our new Voyage roller coaster. It features more weightless airtime than any other wooden coaster. It's one of the tallest, fastest, and at over 1.2 miles, one of the longest coasters in the world. Splash and Safari is the number 2 rated water park in the world, featuring 2 wave pools, 2 action rivers, enormous water slides, and special water play areas for the little ones. Holiday World and Splash and Safari is a great value for your family. We offer 2 parks for 1 price and free unlimited soft drinks. Learn more about us on our website at holidayworld.com. We're celebrating 60 years of family fun all the time.
For a free Indiana Play Pack coupon book, visit enjoyindiana.com.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, then go do the right thing.
Enjoy free live music at the St. Louis Zoo's Jungle Boogie on Friday evenings from 5 to 7 through the end of the summer. This Friday's concert features the funk music of Boogie Child. Admission to the zoo and Jungle Boogie is free. To find out more, call 314-781-0900 or visit stlzoo.org. Musical news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is the Regional Director for American Friends Service Committee, joining us from Chicago, Michael McConnell. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We're talking about the DOD surveilling citizens out here. Michael, were we able to get a sense from this database of how frequently this was happening with the American Friends Service Committee? Do we know, do we have any numbers?
Well, there were, that NBC put on the Internet about 36 incidents in a much larger database. And we're not sure whether these were the ones that were particularly concerned with First Amendment rights or whether this was just a sampling. Probably about 10% of those had some relationship to AFSC. But I think that this is again a question that we're faced with. How much of this do we really know? Many times you just get a tip or a piece of information, and you start pulling on it, and you then is revealed a much larger set of facts that we didn't even know existed.
And how have lawsuits and actions on this citizen spying, be it surveillance, be it phone tapping, how successful have those lawsuits been since they've been filed? I know they haven't gone all the way through, but how have they been doing out there?
Well, much of it is just in the kind of the first phase, and I think one of the things we're up against, obviously, is that there have been appointed over the last 6 years very conservative judges throughout the federal system. And so I think the courts are not the place that they have been in the past in terms of really a redress of grievances. And we certainly are faced with a Supreme Court, if it makes it that far, or has to go that far, that I don't think is that sympathetic to civil liberties at this point. The other fact is, the other reality is that these cases take a long time.
Well, how long did your case, you dealt with this back in, what was it, in the 60s? The American Friends Service
right,
Committee?
Right, right. Well,
how long
in Chicago, when there was actually in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a bug put under our conference table. And
again, wait a minute, if I can interrupt just for a second. Mm-hmm. You are a pacifist organization.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. So.
yeah, and there was an actual bug that would have been put in there by, at the time, the Chicago police had what was called on the street a Red Squad, which was, again, looking into this dreaded evil communism. And I have a stack of papers, probably 2 inches thick of our Chicago police and FBI files. And, in fact, the FBI has been surveilling the American Friends Service Committee since 1921. And, again, pacifist organization against war, supporting conscientious objectors to war who don't want to kill people. 1921 we have as the first FBI files, and it continued up to today. And anyway, we there was a bug underneath our conference table in Chicago. There was a lawsuit against the Red Squad, the Chicago Police Surveillance, and it took basically 10 years before there was resolution of that.
Did it, and obviously change of administrations?
Well, change of mayors, yes, and unfortunately now, though, in the wake of 9/11, and I heard you before saying you're going to do a show on Saturday about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
See a movie, and mm-hmm. I think after 9/11, Chicago, the mayor of Chicago went to the courts and got pretty much all the provisions lifted that had been put on the police about what they could and could not do in terms of First Amendment activities.
What does that mean?
Well, there was a consent decree written in the late 70s based on all of this illegal surveillance of many groups, AFSC. There was a group called the Alliance to End Repression. There was a number of groups in Chicago doing First Amendment activities. We all filed a lawsuit. We won the lawsuit, and there was laws written in Chicago to curtail the surveillance of the Chicago police on First Amendment activities. After 9/11, all those things, the city went to court, and all those things were lifted.
Mm.
So that basically now they're back to infiltrating our meetings, who knows what kind of surveillance on the street. We've had a lawsuit against the police that began in 2003, and we just about four weeks ago won that case. But in the meantime, they have destroyed most of the material that they collected. We're still trying to – we got 160-some pages, but there were boxes of videotapes, CD-ROMs, all kinds of surveillance that they did of our activities. Some of it public, but we don't know what all was private.
And it seems to me that there has been an effort afoot for years now to militarize the police. Are we seeing the result of that work that has gone on prior to this? And what impact does that have? Is there a blurring of the line of the police and the military? Are we seeing that happening?
Well, one line that we really would like to know about is the connection of the police, local police forces all around the country, and the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Forces, so that information that local police gather, in many cases we're seeing, is directly given to the federal government and the FBI. So that if something happens locally, you could be in an FBI database immediately. So, and then the Pentagon spying, that's the military, so that's a whole militarization angle. The other thing that we have seen, certainly in Chicago, I don't know how it is in St. Louis, but right after the first demonstrations against the war in Iraq in 2003, the police came out in full riot gear for every demonstration the week after that. They had big police buses ready to put people into the buses and arrest them. It was so intimidating. People would say, I'm not bringing my kids. I'm not. Again, it was this, and they put a ring of riot police totally around the demonstration in Federal Plaza that we had.
And didn't they have in Chicago what they call a goon squad? Where they had a large police officers to intimidate?
That and also horses. Horses can be very intimidating to people. And they've got a big now truck with video surveillance that they have an antenna that they can get this out to various outposts, and so there it's constant monitoring.
And didn't they also, they used, again, the whole militarizing and the use of the police in a different way, they had the goon squads, they had the buses, they had the horses, and didn't they also threaten people with, if there's any property damage, we're going to come after you, and we have the pictures of you, and we're going to be able to get you?
Yes, it's very, very intimidating, and this riot gear is part of this whole 9/11 money of, quote, for security in the city, and yet the only times we've seen it used are when we are out in First Amendment legitimate activities.
Isn't that something? The thing about I'm just thinking about the what the police are doing. They weren't as well clothed, and they didn't have as much fancy gear, but what they're doing now is what they were doing back in, when they killed Fred Hampton.
Yeah, it's so reminiscent. I mean, you look at the Democratic National Convention of 68, Fred Hampton, the kinds of things that are happening, and yes, it's almost like deja vu. And in addition, then, we have this whole thing, how much is being then related upwards to the FBI and the whole... And obviously, things are much more sophisticated now with these supercomputers. You get in a database, you may never get out. It's like Kafka's castle, you know.
There's far more dire consequences. For example, you get in a database, you can't fly on an airplane anyplace.
Yeah. For months now, I have had to go through the checkout line. I cannot just get a ticket, and especially if I fly into Washington, D.C., I mean, the people who are taking my ticket have to go in the back and check things out before I can even get on the plane.
Have you been told that you're on a list?
Yeah, I've been told I'm on a list.
And what list are you on?
Well, it's a no-fly list.
You're on the no-fly.
Now, they say, well, your name is similar to somebody else, and... You know, it's who knows
Michael
what
McConnell?
The truth is. Anything you're told is obviously what they're telling the person at the ticket counter to say. But what's the real truth? It's virtually impossible to figure out.
So what do you recommend that people do, Michael?
Well, I think that I really do think we do need this hearings and maybe a special prosecutor. I mean, when Clinton was in power, there was a special prosecutor for Whitewater deals. I mean, this is like so much more grave and serious and affecting all the citizens of this country than any Whitewater real estate deal. And yet there was a special prosecutor for that. We have to demand that this be investigated. And there needs to be probably more than one hearing, perhaps a special prosecutor, a subpoena power that they can actually go in and get information. We need stronger whistleblower laws so that people on the inside are protected.
And we need to take a break, I'm sorry, sure. Because I'd like to come back and talk about that in addition to all of those things we need people with the will to push us through.
Yes.
As well. I'm talking to Michael McConnell. He is the Regional Director for American Friends Service Committee. He's joining us from Chicago. And I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Up to the minute traffic updates can be heard at the top and the bottom of the hour during morning and afternoon drives. So if you need to know where to go, we'll tell you where to go right here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800. Dr. Laura.
Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. Learn how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. That's Design 411 at noon, Wednesdays on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
All right, dear listeners out here, we're going to do a giveaway, a giveaway, a giveaway. You heard the author this morning in the 7 o'clock hour, the author of Lap Dogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. Well, we have a book to give away to the sixth caller at 454-6660, 454-6660. You will get a copy of Lap Dogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. Get one, enjoy it. Good luck.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Amsterdam. The former president of Liberia, Charles Taylor, has been transferred to the Netherlands, where he is to stand trial for war crimes. Taylor was removed from Sierra Leone on a UN helicopter over the weekend. Taylor is facing 11 counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity for allegedly providing help to rebels from Sierra Leone who invaded Liberia during his time in office and engaged in a campaign of terror by chopping off body parts of civilians during the 10-year-old civil war that plagued Liberia during the 1990s. The new Liberian president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, had requested the trial be held outside of Africa because of security concerns. Taylor had objected to the location in Europe, saying it would make it too hard for his defense witnesses to get there to testify on his behalf. Taylor had gone into exile in Nigeria in 2003 as part of a deal that ended the civil war. And Dateline Washington. Before leaving office, President Eisenhower gave a haunting warning about the looming military-industrial complex. Those warnings have gone unheeded as a new document compiled by Representative Henry Waxman shows that federal contractors and money paid to them have mushroomed over the last 5 years. Procurement spending has increased by nearly $200 billion during the Bush presidency, and that makes it the fastest growing area of federal discretionary spending, bringing it to about $380 billion a year. The money has been thrown mostly to a handful of large contractors, with five getting 20% of the funds last year. The biggest federal contractor is Lockheed Martin, and it gets more money than the Commerce Department, the Interior Department, the Small Business Administration, and the U.S. Congress combined. Of course, it should be no surprise that Halliburton has become the fastest growing contractor, getting an increase in procurement arrangements of 600% between 2000 and 2005. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Thank you for all the calls. We have our winner for the book giveaway. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call right now.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Mercy, mercy me. This is Liz Brown. Again, a heads up for you. Don't forget, on Saturday, the Urban Institute will be meeting, and they will be meeting, we will be meeting, Irene J. Smith and myself, at 1020 North Taylor at 9 o'clock. Why? Because we're going to be showing the film Loose Change. It's a film about 9/11. It's a film that if you think you know what happened at 9/11, you need to see this film, and we need to have the discussion. So be there this Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. That's 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. Be there. It's going to be an incredible discussion. This morning we are having a discussion this hour with Michael McConnell. He is the Regional Director for American Friends Service Committee. He's joining us from Chicago. He's talking to us about a lawsuit that the American Friends Service Committee has filed against the Defense Department for unlawful surveillance. Michael, I want to go back to a comment that you made a little earlier about a lawsuit that you filed against the police there in Chicago, and you won. What was the basis of that lawsuit, and what did you win?
Well, the basis was there were a number of groups that actually were under surveillance by the Chicago police, and it turned out that their surveillance was illegal in terms of denying First Amendment rights to people. I remember back in those days that there would be police who would come up to you and stick a camera in your face and take your picture and say, you're going to be in our files now, in our database, when I was handing out leaflets for the United Farm Workers, for example.
What goes through your head when someone does, when a cop does that?
Well, at one level, it's like so absurd and ridiculous. And at another level, it's just anger that they can intimidate people like that. And I knew enough of my rights that I wasn't going to be intimidated in that case, but how many people don't know their rights or don't want, that legitimately feel, why should I be photographed for handing out leaflets? So it's both ridiculous and very, very anger-making. Mm-hmm. The sense that, how can this abuse of authority and power go so far? But we won the case, and it curtailed all of their activities. They couldn't do surveillance of legitimate First Amendment activities for 20, 30 years. And then, as I said, it came back after 9/11.
And I guess it's got to be disheartening and frustrating that here we have to redefine First Amendment all over again. And does it seem like at this point in our history that this is going to be a more difficult battle than the one from 30 years ago?
Well, it might be. It definitely might be. I think the one thing I guess I would hope from all your listeners is that we do not lose hope, because mm-hmm. I think it's hopelessness is what those in power want us to feel, that we can't change anything. We you know, they're in power, they have all the levers of authority and power, and that we just have to obey. And I think when we get to that point, then we've really lost all sense of democracy, all sense of rights, human and civil. And I think that so that we can't lose hope.
And there are reasons to be really irritated about this.
Yeah.
I mean, when the show of force in Chicago, when the police came out in their Darth Vader stormtrooper outfits, that cost the city over $1 million.
Right.
For them to do that.
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's so many similarities, as we were talking before, with the 50s and with McCarthyism and this whole fear that is being used to intimidate people, keep people silent, and then it was communism, and today it's terrorism, and yet we found by the end of the 50s and early 60s that this was all a ruse. It was really overstepping all kinds of reality to suggest those things, and I think we're going to find the same with the terrorism threat, and that people have to overcome this sense of fear that is being perpetually thrown at us, and say, no, what's the most important thing is that we maintain our civil liberties and our rights as citizens to dissent and congregate and speak out.
And I guess also part of the mantra should be, where's the proof? You know, where's the evidence of the terrorism?
Right. Well, and the basic fact is the policies of the Bush administration now are causing more terrorism, mm. not stopping it. Being in Iraq, we're hated throughout the Muslim world and much of the world anyway, when we had the world's sympathy after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we squandered all that with the foreign policy and the initiatives, the militaristic response, the first strike policy. All that has undermined sympathy for the United States, which makes us less safe, and it's created a more dangerous world.
Mm. Carphone, you have a question for our guest, Michael McConnell.
You know, just a brief statement here. You know, I sit up here and I listen to what you're talking about, but the big picture, I feel, what the American people are missing is the fact that 9/11 happened at all. And we as Americans, we've always been protected. Those planes should have never reached their target. And the fact that they did is the problem. And George Bush and the rest of his crew ought to be fired. Thank you.
Well, I think the caller raises a whole issue of incompetence, both in the surveillance before 9/11 that obviously there's been FBI agents saying, look, this should have been detected,
mm-hmm.
actually, as the caller said. And yet that's the other theme that's happened besides, you know, lowering of our civil liberties and militaristic foreign policy is just the general incompetence.
Well, and, okay, you had a database. It didn't work.
Right.
And now you're creating an even bigger and bigger and bigger database. The same people that were so incompetent with the first database are now creating another
yes,
database.
Exactly. Exactly.
Michael, where can people go to find out more information about this lawsuit?
People can access our website. It's afsc.org.
afsc.org?
Yes.
Michael McConnell, Regional Director for American Friends Service Committee. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
All
great
right.
show.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. We have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. You don't want to miss that. I'll be back. Until then, stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that.